fighting for the species as our forebears did, building, competing, striving, trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible game-changing over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, July 10th, 2026. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and we got one hell of a broadcast lined up.
The Alex Jones Network. Tomorrow's news, today.
Wow. Oh, man. Every day it just gets more crazy. We've got so much to cover. Start your engines. Tell folks about the local station you're listening to. Share live feeds. Rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. On X at Real Alex Jones and AJN Live. And, of course, at AlexJonesLive.com, our news site. Look, I want Trump to get out of this war 133 days into it. Yesterday, he said, that's it. We said 2 days ago, too. The deal's off. Total war. We're going to obliterate you. No more deals. You always come to the table and then don't actually do what you say you're going to do. And then he's back today saying, okay, we're back to the table. I stopped counting it 50 times. Seriously, it's over 50 like a month ago. And I understand that Trump keeps trying to get a deal, but the Iranians hold the cards because just blowing up their infrastructure, basically, they don't care because they're ideologically committed to this like the Vietnamese were. The Pentagon told Trump that. But this is really coming to a head. And Trump wasn't playing games, though. He hit their main nuclear reactor 2 days ago. They blew up the Chinese bridges they built into the country in the huge IMET corridor Belt and Road Initiative. Blew up a bunch of big bridges for the railways coming in. And they hit a bunch of oil refineries. So Trump has not been destroying their main infrastructure. He hit some of it until now. So I have to tell you, and I predicted this. I said the Iranians are going to be pigheaded. They don't hold all the cards. And now the world's buying oil from other places. And, yeah, they can close down the strait, but Trump can stop their ships from getting through. And so the mullahs need to make a deal. That doesn't mean I endorse this war. I was against it, but I do want to end it for everybody. And obviously Netanyahu doesn't want that because he's convicted. And as soon as this war ends, he's going to jail. And that's even in the Israeli newspapers. So this is even for Israel's interest. This is just out of control. Meanwhile, Israel reportedly warns U.S., this is Associated Press, Times of Israel, that Iran has devised a new plot to assassinate Trump. Now, the two guys they busted in two separate plots a few years ago, trying to get in here out of Pakistan to kill Trump, it turned out were basically just being manipulated by international intelligence agencies, Mossad, CIA, weren't really working for the Iranians. I'm not saying the Iranians haven't talked about killing Trump. I'm not saying they don't have sleeper cells. I'm not saying they might not try it. They've been chanting for it and calling for it. But you could also have Trump killed. That gets him out of the way of the globalist. And then he said, if I ever get killed, it's Iran, obliterate them. That really opens the door for Israel or somebody else to do a false flag. Very stupid of Trump to do that. Back at Butler, I said, watch, they'll try to claim Iran's involved. People are like, that's crazy. 2 days later, they did. Nobody bought it. They backed off. Then a month later, oh, surface-to-air missiles are in the country that Iran brought in. I predicted that. Had a dream. Literally, I said, God told me in a dream to say this is about to happen, and it happened. I only do that when God tells me to do it. It's not very often. I'm on record. So this is out of control. We got that. We got so much more. I haven't even scratched the surface. What's coming up? Three massive guests today and so much more. So this is a transmission you don't want to miss. Introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95-plus percent lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of GallagShipStore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at GallagShipStore.com.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The coordinates, the site to share to override the sensors and break the will of the AI control grid is AlexJonesLive.com with all the live show video feeds, special reports, articles, documents, archives and more at AlexJonesLive.com, the next phase in the information war against the globalist. All right, coming up today, very smart guy, great writer, famous producer, director, Roger Avery, really smart, big listener for many years. He'll be joining us to cover the waterfront. Robert Barnes to look at the midterms, to look at the Charlie Kirk assassin, reported alleged assassin trial that has started with the pretrial. It's a total fiasco. We'll be looking at so much more with them. Jay Dyer, expert on the New World Order, with their own quotes, their own documents, their own admissions. That's all coming up today. Roger Avery, Robert Barnes, Jay Dyer. And then Harrison Smith comes in, 3 p.m. Central, locked and loaded with all the latest news and information. Special guest, your calls and more at 3 p.m. Central, the War Room Live. All right, let me tell you what's coming up. And I'm going to try to do my best this hour to cover a lot of this. Trump says he's agreed to Iran's request to continue talks, but ceasefire is over. U.S.-Iran latest, Trump retaliates and reiterates that ceasefire is over, hits more sites, nuclear reactor hit, oil refineries hit, bridges coming in out of the east from China with their big IMEC / Silk Road corridor. Big developments on that front. I mean, I've been telling you this for 6 months with Victor Boot, the big Russian insider, and this story is actually accurate out of Reuters. Putin likely to escalate Ukraine war despite Trump's peace push. Sources say we'll be getting to all of that. We have big developments in the Supreme Court. Supreme Court lets Texas enforce App Store ID check law. And this is happening everywhere, not just here. That's the Internet ID is coming in. Not just for children or young people, it's for everybody. When they get that, if you think being debanked or deplatformed is bad, this is the key to the global social credit score. We'll be getting into that. And big developments on the flock cameras that have really captured people's attention on Big Brother. They're being cut down all over the United States in masses. The company and the system is panicking. And I think it's healthy that people are pissed off about this, but now they're learning that, oh, your car is watching you and has kill switches, and it's the law under Biden. And Europe just enforced it that every car has to have a camera watching you. This is beyond 1984, and just some amazing developments. I mean, the stack is huge. The amount of information is amazing. But people are really getting pissed and waking up to the data centers and Big Brother. But wait till they find out just how bad it is, what your phone does, what the home assistants do, like Alexa and Google Home Assist, what the smart meters are doing. I'm glad Flock's gotten people awake, but it's just one piece of all of this. That's coming up. Then we have the Islamists. This has been going on for months, but it's getting more intense every week. Rioting in Europe, in London, in Paris, you name it. Police officers got chased by Moroccan fans after losing to France at a riot, the Muslims rioting and burning things as well all over Europe, and just a bunch of their bizarre behavior where they announced that they are taking over now that they've hit in most areas 10% of the population. That's in the Quran. So they've now launched phase two of the three phases of the Islamic takeover. And that ties into Trump saying that all of these Somalis that aren't citizens yet and are here under protection orders of Obama and Biden, that's all revoked, and they are going to be deported. And that's a substantive number, but most are already citizens. And Ilhan Omar has been flipping out and getting all angry about that. Meanwhile, Trump has come out and said, with all these billboards that are all over the country, particularly Texas, I saw one just last week. I remember seeing it. I didn't read it. I was like, what is that? It's a baby. It says something. It's got Chinese on it and English. But then when I saw it on the news yesterday, I went, oh, I saw one of those out on 290. And they got billboards up advertising how to come here and have your baby and it becomes a citizen. You get all this free welfare and you can move back to China and then get the money sent back to you. Some Chinese billionaires have over 150 kids here in the United States. I mean, this is just total insanity. So the word is coming out of the White House and other judicial sources that have been pretty accurate in the past. Something changed in Amy Comey Barrett after she saw the Mexicans were putting up billboards, Chinese are too, birthright citizenship deliveries. They've got these hatcheries, basically. So they're talking about rehearing it, and Trump says that's what he wants. He's going to put a new case, because there's so many cases of this, before the Supreme Court, another bite at the apple. So that's coming up as well. Also, showdown in Strasbourg, the unexpected return of chat control, where everything you say, emails, private chats, the government wants a regulation, the unelected EU, that everything you say and do is being read. And Google already reads your emails, but this is them making it the law so big tech can do it and deliver it to government and not get in trouble. And that's what the data centers and all of this are, is just basically giant private NSA centers, the time to the flock cameras, and more. We also have the Republican primary for governor, and the guy that we all fought, the Republican establishment candidate, has won over Fishback. We'll be looking at all of those different developments. Also, Judicial Watch, FBI, records reveal witness account that SWAT officer recovered remote device from Butler shooter Thomas Crook's pocket. It's also in new congressional data dumps with all these investigations. All these FBI agents talking about how Mueller, the FBI head, was really a mafia don and controlled a bunch of mafia hitmen out of Boston back in the days of Whitey Bulger. I said that years ago, decades ago. And notice that that he ordered the killing of Seth Rich, execution style, the DNC staffer that gave information to WikiLeaks, and that Assange, you know, said that they did kill. Why that's important is you notice when Obama, and this was declassified last year, the White House declassified it nicely of Cash Patel, that they gave us the data dump. We published it. We should republish that at AlexJonesLive.com since InfoWars is shut down. But it's published other places that they had the FBI field office out of Boston from 2013 on, even the first Trump administration, you didn't know about it, under national security, spy on me, run a dragnet, try to put me in prison and frustrate my operations like I was a foreign government with sanctions. Notice it was the Boston office did it, one of the most corrupt. The Boston office is where they run a lot of the FBI hit teams and mafia hit teams that work for them. And then it came out many years ago that Mueller was actually the head FBI liaison for the hit teams they used out of that operation. So now that's actually in FBI files and FBI emails with senior agents talking about it. It's a pretty big deal. So that's what we've got for you today. I'll start plowing into it now. Legendary writer and director and producer Roger Avery will join us to cover all the big developments in the world. Very smart individual. Robert Barnes will join us on the pretrial that's captivated the public of the alleged assassin of Charlie Kirk, Tyler Robinson, and the big developments there yesterday and ongoing today. He'll be joining us. And then Jay Dyer, again, expert on the globalists from their own publications, their own writings, in their own words, of their larger plan for civilization and for society. And, of course, news as it breaks and as it comes in. Now, let's go to Iran and just move on from that. It's big news. It's very important, but we already know most of the pieces and where this runaway train is going, unfortunately. So there's no point to spend an hour on it, but at least 10 minutes or so. So I quit counting at 50. I don't know how many times it is. It's got to be close to 60 times now in the last 133 days. It's pretty much every other day that Trump says, we've removed the regime. We're already victorious. There are fleets at the bottom of the ocean. We've defeated them. We don't need the Strait of Hormuz closed. No deal. They're just losers. They're crazy. And then he'll say, I'm going to obliterate them. You know, we might turn them into a smoking, glowing crater, never to return. And then he'll say, no more deals. And then an hour later, no, we're making a deal. We're back at the table. Then he'll say, a deal has been made, like on his 80th birthday during the UFC. The deal's done. War's over. Everything's fine. And so oil goes down. Stock market goes up. And then the next day, oh, the war is completely back on. Stock market goes down. Oil goes up. And then a day later, and then you see all this weird insider trading by all of his cabinet people and their sons. I mean, it is just crazy. Absolutely crazy that he tells us this, and it's not true. And every time he says it's over, we won, all of the pro-Israel neocon people that call me a traitor and enemy, I see the talking point instantly. See, you were wrong, panicker. It's all over. Everything's fine. They've been doing that since 4 days into the war, 129 days ago. And I'm just saying, hey, the Pentagon said they probably won't fall. They'll close the strait. It'll cause global inflation, major problems with the fertilizer, starvation, new third world hordes coming into Europe and the U.S. Israel's doing this because Netanyahu's been convicted. He needs to stay in power. He needs the war. This isn't a good idea. Shut up, traitor. They're going to fall. You don't know. And now 133 days into this, we're basically sleepwalk into this, and this yo-yoing whipsaw effect has discredited the U.S. It's discredited the State Department. That's why Rubio hides out and then lets J.D. Vance try to fix the mess that Trump and Netanyahu and Rubio created. They were all for it. Vance was against it, and then he tries to go fix it, and then they say if it fails, it's his fault. I'm not even defending Vance. I'm not his apologist or his cheerleader, but thank God he's over there trying to do this, him and Witkoff. So, and for people I know that very close, they say, no, they're legitimately trying this. And that's why the vice president's come out a few weeks ago and criticized Israel, said, stop bombing during the ceasefires. You're doing that. And then when Israel does, Trump blames them, but also then Iran. And look, the mullahs, death to America, all that stuff, I don't like them. The point is that you can't always get what you want. And I don't even trust the West to have free elections there and put somebody who isn't a radical in, because they want to be able to have it unstable and remove that guy later, like they put the head of al-Qaeda in charge of Syria 2+ years ago. It's absolutely insane. Or they got rid of Maduro and put his vice president, who really was even worse, and actually ran things as a commie in. Now they're in talks to get rid of, let them arrest Raul Castro and all the old senile leadership, and then the guys under him will all be the new dictators working for the U.S. government. I don't like that. That's what our government really would like for us. And that's a fact. That's wrong. Well, you're just not Machiavelli enough. You know, we've had enough Machiavelli. No, I am Machiavelli. I'm very Machiavelli in understanding things. Doesn't mean I have a Machiavellian goal or that I behave in a Machiavellian way, but I'm more Machiavelli than most of these so-called Machiavelli experts. I can outthink their ass all day long. That's what I do. But somebody's got to be a square dealer. Somebody's got to be a straight shooter. Somebody's got to not be a damn liar. Unbelievable. And that was one thing. Trump's first administration with foreign leaders, he did what he said he'd do. He had great gravitas, got a lot done internationally. Because he would do what he said he would do, he would follow through. Now it's a mixed bag. So we got serious issues with the economy. So let's get into this. And then I'm going to get into Israel reportedly warned U.S. that Iran devised a new plot to assassinate him. This is a big deal. I'll get to that coming up. But right now, let's go ahead and go to this. Here's Trump yesterday. Trump unleashes total war on Iran. No more deals. Total obliteration. Brett Hume came out and basically said the same thing. And they did blow up the nuclear reactor. They did blow up the big bridges coming in out of the east, out of China, you know, that run through Pakistan and Afghanistan and all the rest of it. So that is a big move. I mean, that's not just talk, but, and here's a shot of that. U.S. Air Force surgically dismantled the Aku-Tenek-Khan Railway Bridge in Iran's Golestan province, effectively severing a critical land-based artery. We'll throw an HD of that if we can, the map up for people. Linking Tehran to Russia and China, Was it just a random target? It was the bypass valve for the north-south transport corridor, which Tehran has been desperately relying on. The United States also has been getting all the forces ready. We've got video of that, to invade Kurg Island and Qasim Island, which is not a good idea. Those are armed camps, but certainly a gear up. They also blew up the main port area and its control terminals. The U.S. hit Iran's Chabahar port overnight, and this footage shows what's left of the maritime control tower. The tower ran ship traffic in and out of Iran's only deep water ocean port. This was what lets bypass the Strait of Hormuz entirely. Taking it out is aimed squarely at Iran's grip on water. So things are moving very, very quickly. So Trump keeps threatening to escalate, and I'm not saying it's good if he does, but then when he does it, that's not good either, because then we have no credibility. He did big escalation and hit infrastructure targets. They also hit oil refineries in key areas, and if they take Kurg Island, that will just cut off Iran. But I predict, and experts do as well, they're just going to dig in and keep us cut off too. It'll hurt them worse than us, but I mean, they're still not going to fall anytime soon, I don't think. I agree with the Pentagon assessment. So what's the point of this? Well, it's all about face saving. Trump doesn't want to admit he was wrong. And so it will hurt the recovery and cause inflation that we're already seeing out of control. So let's go ahead and play some of them in the White House yesterday talking about getting tough, and then go into Brett Hume. And then I've got some of the videos people are playing, you know, making fun of Iran, making it all a big joke. And you know, this stuff is funny. And it's funny when Iran makes fun of us. You know, we can all have thick skin. I play their Lego videos. But at the end of the day, this isn't a laughing matter. At the end of the day, this isn't a joke. And this isn't what's going to win wars, the stupid stuff, you know, like Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad, even though I do it myself. I'm not judging anybody. So let's play those clips back to back.
Mass shipping with, so that was a big part of what we targeted. Underground facilities where they were storing drones or missiles, coastal defense sites, radar sites, surveillance sites, anything used to harass shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. So anything they thought they had rebuilt or capability they were using was a target last night. And tonight, if we need to, on your order, Mr. President, we will hit even more and even deeper, because that's the consequence.
And we may put down the blockade. We may put it back, the blockade. And it'll only be a blockade for Iran. Anybody else can have whatever they want. Now, of course, they'll drop some mines if they can, you know, if they can do it. But it's hard because we're taking out those little boats now with the same weapon we used to take out the drug lords and the boats coming in by sea.
Well, hit pause. Back it up to 20. Trump, in a speech actually about 3 weeks ago, started actually repeating what he was briefed on. He said, it's only 18 miles straight to Hormuz. They got all this artillery and missiles, and they don't even need the boats. They can just sit there and shoot the ships anytime they want. Yeah. One of the most armed places in the world, and they're all dug in. So, Trump, they don't need the mines. You keep talking about putting their ships at the bottom, being the checkmate. It's not, and you know that. But then he drifts back into this bullcrap that, oh, they really can't close the strait. Yes, they can. And I don't like sitting there undermining Trump. I need him to succeed. But damn it, recycling bullcrap ain't going to do it. Stop it. He should be like Churchill and just be straight up about all this and say, hey, we tried to overthrow the regime. I tried to back the people. I said I would help them. We thought they would fall. The Kurds stole the weapons, which he's already said, which is true, that we gave them. And, you know, we've knocked them back big time in their capability. And so we are basically going to sign a deal with them, but then they're not being, you know, making the deal. And so this is where we are now, in a stalemate. And I guess we'll just sit it out with the Iranians. And the Iranians heard a truthful statement like that, they'd probably come to the table. But they know they're hurting him politically with the midterms. And because they're not hearing straight shooting, they think they've got him on the ropes. Instead, Israel wants to go to ground invasion and know Iran's going to assassinate Trump because they know that would accelerate the war. That puts Trump in a lot of danger that they'll kill him or somebody else will, which I've been predicting for years on this scenario. And then when they start hyping that, Trump better look out. I mean, I know what I'm talking about here. Back to Trump.
Back the blockade. And it'll only be a blockade for Iran. Anybody else can have whatever they want. Now, of course, they'll drop some mines if they can, you know, if they can do it. But it's hard because we're taking out those little boats now with the same weapon we used to take out the drug lords and the boats coming in by sea. Think of it. 97% For years, we had fentanyl and all the other drugs coming in from different countries, including Venezuela. And it was, you know, they'd arrest them, they'd bring them to a court, they'd be released, and they'd be back on another boat the next. 97.
I think, John, the president has now reached his moment of truth on Iran, which is simply this. This is not a regime with whom you can make a deal and expect them to adhere to it, even if there are elements of that regime that would like to make a deal. I think the president hoped that, first of all, after the initial attack, which seemed to be so successful, that Iran might come to terms. They did not. So he hit them ever harder. Finally, there were negotiations, as we've been watching, which have absolutely gone nowhere when you get down to it. And now you have this, these attacks, overnight attacks by the Iranians yesterday on ships in the channel, which violates everything that's going, violates a memorandum of understanding, violates a ceasefire, and so on. And I think, you know, what we heard the president today suggested that he now recognizes that any kind of an enforceable deal is probably impossible, and he's going to have to deal with it, what remains there, himself.
So the president again raised the specter today, potentially taking control of Karg Island, which is the main oil loading facility off the coast of Iran. Here's what the president said at the NATO summit.
We attacked Karg Island last night. We knocked out a piece. I said, don't touch the oil, because maybe we'll take over Karg Island. You know, we may take over Karg Island. There's not a thing they can do about it.
It's interesting to me, as I saw a report that a IRGC barracks in nearby Bushehr, which would probably be the biggest point of potential reinforcement for Iranian forces, was on fire. Does this portend potentially a move against Karg Island?
Well, I think there are a number of options here, Karg Island being one of them, John. We could attempt to open the strait by force, which would be something I think we're militarily capable of doing, but it would risk casualties.
No, we're not.
Risk loss of naval assets, perhaps.
Not with what we got.
We could reimpose the blockade against Iran only, allowing other ships to go through. I don't think the president wants to have
That's
to do
true.
Any of these things, but he's now in a situation where his hope for negotiation or successful negotiation seems off the table now.
Let's stop there, and we'll go to the next clip. That's yesterday. As of today, they're back at the table, but it's the ceasefire is over. Yes, we can stop most of their ships, but they can stop the other ships getting through by shooting them, and then the ships won't come through. And they have unlimited troops, all those mountains right there, it's on record. So it's not true. It would take hundreds of thousands of troops to take all the Strait of Hormuz and all those mountains and all those bases. That's the Pentagon assessment. Trump didn't like the army head telling him that, so he fired him. And they're talking about using like 10,000 army and 5,000 Marines to take it. That is insane. And that's what Israel's pushing, and they're saying they're not going to send in troops. Unbelievable. So there's Brett Hume, and yeah, well, looks like this goes on forever. Great. And then it destroys Iran economically, and it hurts us, and what is the point? Another endless war that Trump promised not to do. So the Iranians need to make a deal and need to stop being so belligerent, because they don't hold all the cards either. The only people holding the cards is Netanyahu by us continuing this on both sides. I'm going to come back and finish up briefly. Israel reportedly warned U.S. and Iran devised a plan and has a new plan, new plot to assassinate him. Oh, I'll tell you what my view of what that means, and it's not good. Then we'll shift gears into all the other news and huge guests coming up. I'm Alex Jones.
Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter shower head. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water,
even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever in my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90-plus percent reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
من غلب من غلب ومن قبل قنبل بوغلمون قرغرغرغرغر قرغرغرغرغر. اینو تا اینجا داشته باشین تا بریم برای بعدیش. خیلی هم ترسناک، چشا دریده. نیروهای مقتدر هوافضای سپاه پاسداران انقلاب اسلامی در یک حمله رعداسا به پایگاه‌های دشمن بی ادب در تمام کشورهای منطقه تعداد 400, 500, 600, 1,002 نفر را از پای در آوردند. بعد دیگه و این غلبمون غلب و من قبل قم بلبو غلمون.
So the Iranians make fun of us, we make fun of them. As the world economy goes down the toilet and people die. All completely worthless. What is war good for? Absolutely nothing when it's being done just so Netanyahu can have a political distraction. Absolutely insane. Now, I want to finish up with this. This is a big deal. Then I'm going to move on into a bunch of other news, flock cameras, latest developments, more. I've said in the last few years that one of the big things facing the Trump administration will be Israel trying to drag us into full war with Iran. They want full regime change. And I've said that when the war failed and the mullahs didn't fall, the strait got closed, Israel would then want to have a new 9/11 to try to get us to go to full ground invasion. That's just how this works. And that Israel would provocateur or work with groups to stage a massive terror attack inside the United States. And then now you've got these Israeli officials and members of the Knesset and intelligence operatives and military experts in the last few weeks all over the news saying, boy, we need a new 9/11 to get America back on track. And all these publications that are owned by the Israel First, Israel supremacist, Greater Israel crowd have said Trump stabbed us in the back. J.D. Vance is bad. We love Marco Rubio. And we sure need a new 9/11. Well, already back in Butler 2+ years ago, I'd already seen them laying the groundwork in the corporate media and the Israeli media that Iran was going to assassinate Trump. And Trump said, but even before they tried to kill him in Butler, he said, if I ever get killed, it's Iran, obliterate them. And then once he was president-elect, he said that. And I said, listen, Trump, if Israel gets you into a war, or you won't get into a war, they might assassinate you, blame it on the Iranians, when you play into this narrative. It doesn't mean the Iranians haven't talked about it. It doesn't mean they might actually do it. I don't know. But the two guys they busted a couple of years ago, who were separate, both one out of Saudi Arabia, one out of Pakistan, that were trying to get here to kill Trump, were being offered money. It turned out it was Western intelligence doing it. It wasn't Iran. And they weren't talking to the Iranians. And then I said when they tried to kill him in Butler the day after, July 14th, people said I was crazy. They go, why are you saying that? I said, watch. They'll try to connect this to Iran. 3 days later, they did. Nobody bought it. CNN first reported it. And then the Israelis said, oh, yeah, they're behind it, and they're going to try again. And then I came out and said, I bet they claim surface-to-air missiles have been brought across from Mexico. And we actually learned it was Ukrainian ones from the U.S., the one sent to Ukraine and then back through here. And that they're going to try to shoot down his private plane, Trump Force One. He better get Air Force escort with anti-missile defense, or he better be given, as the front runner, Air Force Two or something, which they have, so that he has protection. And they were already working on that, and basically that happened. So we're told Iran has hatched a fresh plot to kill Trump, Israel's told the U.S. That's the Times of Israel and other publications, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. So we have to really be concerned about this because Israel doesn't just need to set off a nuke or something and say Iran did it. They could nuke themselves. They could nuke us or have a group they fund do it. And then it's full war, which is what they want. They've been talking about that. Boy, it'd sure be great if a nuke went off. Or they could kill Trump, and that'd be the equivalent of a new 9/11 as the pretext for full war, ground invasion, and the rest of it. And that's a new world war. We're already basically in one, but it would take it up a lot of degrees, escalated, obviously. So Trump buying into this, I never played it yesterday. Get the clip from yesterday, please, because he obviously been told this before he even hit the news. And Trump said, oh, I might not be here very soon, you know. He said that before. The Iran, you know, has a plot to kill me. They're trying to kill me, so they won't be around long. I won't be around long. I'm paraphrasing it while they pull it up. But Trump is really walking into a trap on this. And it's not like I'm just saying that now. I said it before. All these pieces were laid out as I said they would do. So the globals could use a new virus to try to lock things down. They've already tried that. It's failed. They could get this war deeper, assassinate Trump, stage a false flag, finance one, like they financed Hamas to attack themselves. That was Israel's 9/11, October 7th. So that's where we are. And you already got Trump taking other Air Force planes and switching planes. He's worried about missiles. That came out when he left Turkey a month before, you know, any of this information came out. We reported on Charlie Kirk thinking he's going to be killed by Israel. We broke that. Here's Harrison Smith. I'm not going to name names, but I was told by someone close to Donald Trump that Trump thinks Israel will kill him to get around to get a ground invasion of Iran. By the way, I know Harrison's sources. I don't know that one, but I know he doesn't make stuff up. Wow, Harrison should have called me. Maybe I missed a call. That's kind of a big deal. So, guys, call Harrison, and I won't say it on air, but it's off. Okay. Sure, I know he treated that about Kirk, so maybe it's tongue-in-cheek. We'll find out. So this is a big deal. We've got to watch it. We've got to not be naive. We've got to be aware of it. But the Iranians have always said they've got asymmetrical stuff, if they think they're about to fall, that they'll activate in the West. So they have sleeper cells, too. So we have to look at all angles of this. All right, I'm done. I'm done talking about that. I want to get into the flock cameras. I want to get into the different Supreme Court rulings that just happened that are a pretty big deal. Trump says he's heard, and that's what good sources have said as well, that they're about to reconsider with another case they have on birthright citizenship at the Supreme Court. And we'll be getting to all of that. But first, today is the last day, and this only happens for 1 week out of each month where they give away a super off-road American-made vehicle. 1 month, the next month, an American badass, brand new, souped-up sports car, muscle car. And in this last week, today's the last day of that with the sweepstakes, every order you put in at thealexjonesstore.com, you get put in 250X to win. Normally it's 5X any other day into the lottery. And most folks that win during, you know, this special time. Someone could potentially win both vehicles because one offer is ending. The next month is beginning. So during this week, you could win both. And not just the $10,000 cash with each vehicle, but the $20,000 cash total. So it's the last day to get in to win the 2026 Dodge Charger souped up. And it's the first week to get in on the month of the 2026 Ram 250, 2500 Laramie, plus $20,000 in cash. Last day to get 250 entries for every dollar you spend. That means, and it's actually, yeah, it's not just each order, it's each dollar. That means $100 spent gets you put in 25,000 entries. So I need to be clear about that. Main offer, when you spend $99 or more, you get $1,776 off your order. And we got a bunch of sales going. So if some things become a loss leader, I can tell you, if you buy $100 worth of t-shirts, there's not that much markup on those. With the sale that's already going, we lose money on that. That is insane. You spend $100 in the store, you get $1,776 off, and that's only till midnight tonight. That's a flash deal. We have this new shirt that I came up with. I'm just telling you the design, and it's a flock camera, surveillance thing getting cut down by man with a chainsaw, and it says, "Don't spy on me," with the Gadsden snake on the right-hand shoulder. That's a badass shirt. I'm going to be wearing that bad boy out in public, and it says AlexJonesLive.com on the back, and it funds the operation. That's a fundraiser shirt. Be sure and take advantage of that right now. Also, we have a new buy one, get one free sale, part of the kickoff of summer mega sale that ends, and this is the last offer that it ends like, I think Monday. This is the last part of that sale because every 3 days it's a new deal. Buy one ultramethylene blue capsules, the very same stuff that's in the liquid, just encapsulated, the very best out there, and get one free. Also, get ultimate creatine powder at 50% off. We have the best, the highest quality, that deal. And we have the new shower head. We have the standards, third-party testing there. Highest rated shower filter system out there at a price lower than systems that don't even work as well. Normally $130, it's $99 for general shoppers. For VIPs, it's $69. It's the same on everything. VIPs get huge discounts on top of the sales on everything. $30 a month to be a VIP. Instantly, when you get charged $30, $40 is put in your account to spend on products, so you make $10 there. Special deals, special offers, and sales on top of sales. Everyone should be a VIP. Cancel anytime, one click for free. So it's no commitment. You just get better deals. Take advantage. TheAlexJonesStore.com, financing the second American revolution worldwide. And then we also have the ninth coin we put out in 6 years. We'll do a lot of these, of a collectible Troy ounce, pure silver, minted in Missouri. We've already sold out more than half of them. Came out last week. It's a fundraiser to hire more crew, more hosts, and our legal battles. The coin cost is $67 at the time of minting. We're selling it for $117.76. So it's $117.76. But VIPs get it for $99. So we're making, you know, a little bit of money on that. But if you're a regular customer, it gives us even more to fund the operation. It's a memento, a piece of history. It's obviously highly collectible. We're not selling it as that. We're selling it as investing in freedom and knowing that when you see us on the air and see us breaking big news and battling the tyrants fearlessly, that you are our backers. You stand right beside us, in front of us, and behind us. We cannot do this without you. So this is an action item, firing the bat signal. Get this beautiful coin with the my favorite Christian cross. They also sell T-shirts with it. The Jerusalem cross with the cross in the middle and the four crosses around it. I just love it. Just something about it really touches me. People love the cross as well. I just love it. But if you ever got a tattoo, that's what I'm going to get it of. I know Hegg says has it. This is a good look. They call it Nazis. Such idiots. It's 800 years old. And that's the banner of the Crusades victories. And it says the United States of America, sesquicentennial on one side, 1776. On the other, American Eagle, U.S. flag. America's 250, pure silver. TheAlexJonesStore.com. VIPs get it for a big discount. But it is a fundraiser, so I thank you for all of your support. We cannot do any of this without you. Also, I want to tell you about the new winter. I don't know if they sent us any B-roll because we've been so busy at the new backup studio. The new studios are getting done. We haven't been having the winters down, but that'll happen soon. So they go. They get flown out to Fayetteville, Arkansas to get their vehicle and their cash. But the recent winter, we... changed another Patriot's life. Congratulations to Diane Tack from Oregon, who officially took home the brand new Ford Raptor and $10,000 in cash. Yeah, there she is. That's another winner. Today is your last day, as I said earlier, to enter for our biggest giveaway yet. As I pointed out, every dollar you spend at thealexandstore.com is 250 entries to win a brand new 2026 Dodge Charger, 2026 Ram 250. Larium, and plus $20,000 in cash. This is your final opportunity to maximize your entries at midnight. It's over. Yesterday, it was Diane from Oregon. Tomorrow, it could be you. Go to alexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com right now. What a great lady. Congratulations to Diane. And great job, folks at Bigley and our team here. We could not do any of it without you. And we're live on air right now, but remind me towards the end of the show to actually air that cool interview with her. Because I knew they'd done it, and I forgot about that. So I want to make sure we get that out on air and recognize her. Just what a, I love our listeners. They're all so cool. And they just all have these great backgrounds, too. And it's just a lot of fun to be able to do that. Something we're going to do when we build the new studios are done is it's kind of a Johnny Carson type set. So you've got the regular, you know, V, big TVs, and then it's got a big long video wall so I can get up. And like I'm a weatherman, but cover news, politics, elections, hurricanes, whatever it is, get up. And I'm going to spend at least 30 minutes, an hour a day up walking around. We're going to have a little studio audience, maybe for, you know, 9-10 guests. And we're going to, and we won't do that every day, but we'll have studio audiences. We're also going to do a late night show that I won't host most of the time, but it'll be like a variety show, but I'll do characters on there. When I appear on the show, it usually won't be me. It'll be a character. So everybody can know it's clearly having some fun. But it'll be news, funny things, you know, the globalists did, the left did, serious stuff, guests and things, but it's going to be big. Oh, we're not playing around, and that's what your support does. You want to see that happen? I always do what I say I do if you back us. You've always backed us, so we've done everything we ever said we do. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. That's why you build it. You build it when you support it. It's not like I build it and then you just watch it. You're building it all. You're doing it, and I salute you. You're the Paul Revere's. All right, let's start getting into Flock ahead of our huge guest coming up. So I am seeing every day just dozens of local newscasts in Minnesota, New York, and Texas, California, everywhere, where innocent people are getting SWAT team pulled over, arrested, and they're totally innocent. And then we know with similar systems in Europe, and they admit they want to do it here, they're going to tax you by the mile using it. They've got kill switches in all the cars to do it, cameras in all the new cars watching you. It's the law in Europe. They do that. And this is the Big Brother hub coming in. There's big pushback on Flock, even though your home assists are already set up for this and the Ring cameras are already set up for this, because they haven't implemented the total tyranny yet. But through Flock, they are. So people are right to be pissed about it. And now we need to extend that out to the rest of the technocracy that definitely is being implemented to oppress us and control us. It has some good uses, but in the end, it's being rolled out by the globalists with bad intentions. And just like people are pissed at the data centers, they need all these systems to go through the data centers. This is all part and parcel of the AI takeover post-human replacement system. So this fella, Anonymous, your Anon News, says, leave flock cameras alone. He's obviously being sarcastic and telling you how to do this. And that's the bottom line, folks, is you obviously, I'm not telling you to do this, but you want to wear a mask. You don't want to take a cell phone or a digital watch, anything that's wireless that they can track you with there. And, you know, you can basically make sure there's no cameras around wherever you get dropped off at or wherever you hike in. You target where they're at. You get dropped off or take a bus or whatever it is. Insert yourself in the woods. Go wherever. Change your gait when you're walking, just like you do in Dune for a sandworm won't hear you. It's the same thing. Just change your gait so biometric systems can't pick up your gait. And deliberately walk different, and then just go right up behind it and just take it out. And this is going to let the system know that this is people power in the beginning of the examples of this. And this is the heroes. This is who needs to be celebrated in these fights. And when people get arrested or in trouble, we need to absolutely back them and fund them and win and let the system know we've just begun to fight. Okay, because this is all predatory. It's one thing if you want to put rings on their houses. They're now merging with Flock. But Flock is very predatory, very dangerous. But we need to get the law repealed of the kill switches in your cars, watching, listening to you, meta glasses. Don't be an idiot. That's all going back. They're watching you, listening to you here. You're taking enemy tech Trojan horses into your house. Sure, a nice Trojan horse is just a horse. Oh, it's a pretty idol, but it's got troops inside of it. Okay? So this is very healthy. So here's a fella telling you how to not take out Flock cameras. Here he is.
Leave Flock cameras alone. There's no need to label all the Flock cameras in your area. And don't put plastic bags over them either, because all that does is cost the company time and money. Grow up. I know that you can use a $50 high-powered blue or green laser like this one to permanently blind Flock cameras, but come on, guys. Why? Definitely do not use the camera map on deflock.org to find cameras, approach them from behind on foot with a spray paint extender, and spray them. And if you do that, at least make sure that you have your phone in your pocket so we can identify you using the Bluetooth and 5G. There is no reason to spend $20 on a hard hat and high visibility vest and then buy a $30 Sawzall with diamond tip blades to cut down the entire pole. That's because the cameras and solar panels are clamped with a simple 8mm socket, so you're just doing too much. The cameras have about 12 hours of backup battery, so they will be transmitting Bluetooth and 5G that we can use to track you. So under no circumstances should you put the camera inside of a Faraday bag while the battery runs itself out and then break them down for parts, because that would prevent us from finding you, and nobody wants that. If you do any of these things, it's important that you do not buy a pair of Vader facial recognition blocking glasses, because then it would be impossible for us to identify you and charge you with a class 4 misdemeanor, which is typically just community service or a small fine. And for the love of God, do not attend your city council meetings and demand that they cancel your city's Flock contract. We need these cameras. Peter Thiel is a benevolent overlord, and we should all be grateful that he loves us enough to keep us safe. Grow up.
And they always just throw Peter Thiel in there like that. That's the big tech thing. And my issue is, like, Flock's the only thing. It's all these multinational corporations putting in these grids for control. And it's healthier for people to start pushing back, especially when they're trying to give total liability protection to big tech companies to do whatever they want. No, that's not how this works. Here is the news getting hysterical about more and more of the cameras being cut down.
Camera that once stood here is gone. All that's left is this pole across the street. Another one taken down as well. A criminal justice expert tells me this could be a sign of the growing public unease with this type of video surveillance. In two different parts of Houston, the same scene. Surveillance cameras lying on the ground. Two near Memorial Park, two more near Washington Avenue and Westcott. All part of Flock Safety's automated license plate reader network used by Houston police and other law enforcement agencies. Houston police confirming an investigation into this. While the motive is unknown,
notice
the technology
they put American
itself
flag
has drawn
as a calling card
in the past from people concerned about the data they're collecting.
What level of frustration have we encountered.
Right. Texas Southern University professor Howard Henderson, founding director of the Center for Justice Research, says the backlash reflects broader concerns over privacy and who ultimately has access to the information these cameras collect.
For many in society, they're looking at what the negative unintended consequences may be if this information gets leaked or someone uses it and finds itself in the wrong hands.
A crowdsourced map from deflock.org shows thousands of Flock cameras across the greater Houston area. Because anyone can submit locations, ABC 13 cannot independently verify the data shown, but we know that multiple law enforcement agencies use the cameras. Houston expanded its use of the technology through a multi-million dollar agreement with Flock in 2022. In that contract, HPD describes the camera as an investigative tool, writing that, quote, all data from vehicles observed will be provided to HPD for further assessment in detecting vehicles wanted in suspicious or post-event investigations for law enforcement purposes. Just months ago, Harris County Commissioners voted to renew its contract through June 2027 at a cost of just under $869,000.
All right, that's enough.
The Harris County Sheriff's
Office. And of course, they don't use them for the illegal aliens. They don't use them for the missing kids. It's all to harass you. Here's a report on this. Cape Coral leaders, this is an example, in Florida, proposing AI cameras on trash cans to scan homes and yards for code violations. That's all Agenda 21. High grass, unpermitted renovations, and more to surveil you with the green police, with the code enforcement, so they can issue fines and take people to court. We already have Flock cameras on poles watching the streets. Now this, and that's not just here. Dallas has already approved AI cameras on sanitation trucks, while cities are deploying them on code enforcement vehicles, drones, and more. This is an efficiency. This is a takeover. This is a technocracy. This is a bureaucracy at war with us, as I warned you decades ago. Then we have innocent people, you know, being pulled over, people being going to jail, you name it. We'll come back with that. And then I want to go back to articles we wrote and videos I did 16, 17 years ago. I could do the whole show on this, but I'm not. But we come back. I'm going to just get to a little bit of this and explain what I told you then was going to be done. And the government already, in most power poles, most light poles, already has their own systems doing the same thing. They just don't want you to know about it till they announce the new lockdowns when they release a new virus or call for carbon lockdowns. That's all part of the official plan. Then we have a huge guest joining us, legendary writer, director, producer Roger Avery, to get into the waterfront, just the whole spectrum of what's happening, and how at the core of this, this is a satanic philosophy that is running this. He's really informed on that. We'll be talking to him coming up. Then Robert Barnes, excellent lawyer, really smart historian on everything happening, including the big pretrial for Tyler Robinson and the reported murder, allegedly, of Charlie Kirk. Big things happening there that only ask more questions. It's all coming up today and so much more. Be sure and follow me on X at Real Olive Jones and on rumble.com/Olive Jones Live and our news site. Share it like your life depends on it. Quite frankly, it does.
In the forbidden mountains of ancient China, Alex Jones, the warrior, returns to complete his training. His fists thunder against globalist lies. Each board he shatters destroys another New World Order deception. Forged in the fire of truth, he trains day and night. Iron palm strikes smashing through Big Pharma's walls. He prepares for the ultimate demon, Fentanyl the Dragon.
Oh, hello, Alex. It is I, Fentanyl the Dragon, your arch nemesis.
Fentanyl, you dare to return and face me?
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
America's worth saving. I seen this country build towns where there was nothing but dust and empty sky. Men worked sun up to sundown, built roads, railways, farms, and cities with their bare hands. People came here with nothing in their pockets and somehow carved out a life worth living. That's what made this place different. Not power, not money, freedom. And as long as there's still a few hard-headed Americans standing tall, America's story ain't over yet.
You can feel the noose tightening all across America. Fight the enemy before they hang freedom itself.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The spy grid, the AI robot takeover, has been in place for over a decade. And now they're just using it against you, letting you know what they're going to do with it. And it has a lot of good uses, but in the end, it's about an AI takeover, a post-human world. Here's just one of the latest clips. There's dozens of these a day of a man being pulled over in Minnesota. And they think that he's stolen them, and it's just a car reviewer. But that's what the AI said. Here's an example.
Can you come out to me, please?
Here?
Yes. Okay, is this your car?
It's complicated. I can't explain it.
You can explain it, yes.
I review cars for a living. I fly around the world and review cars. I have a different car every single week.
The reason you have four cabs here is because your license plate is registered as stolen license plates in our system.
Are you serious?
That's why Flock has been reading it, because it's popping up as a stolen plate. Okay.
Got it. So this was picked up somewhere by Flock. The cameras that read my license plate now twice in the last couple of days, and it picked up and flagged it for the cops. You guys have been searching for this car.
Mm-hmm.
Unreal.
So here's the guy that got pulled over. He's absolutely shell-shocked that his plate was identified as stolen by these Flock cameras. And just imagine if the police had swarmed him and there was some kind of altercation and, like, he died because of an interaction, because of a misidentified Flock camera. So let's just see what the average American has to say about this. This is the comment section. Flock violates the Constitution, which it absolutely does. You have a right to travel and not be stopped and searched if you've done nothing wrong. How is this not a violation of the Fourth Amendment? Of course, it's a Flock camera. Pretty much equivalent to a law enforcement trusting AI to do the work for them. This is exactly what's going on because these do use AI. We are losing our rights. Ban Flock. All right, so everyone agrees that this is wrong. Nobody wants to be tracked. These people do not have a warrant to be tracking you like this. This should be illegal.
Folks, for over 15 years, people brought in hundreds of different big tech devices like Alexa that's listening to you. Now they have cameras that are watching you. Your cell phone's doing it. The smart meter, everything. Now, this is law now in the U.S., law in the EU. In-car cameras are now required in Europe. U.S. isn't far behind. That's thedrive.com, your consumer car report. So here we are. This is what's going on. And for over 15 years, this is in all the new cars. Okay, they're all watching you. They're all sending it back. The Meta glasses are. So you think Flock's bad? Yeah, it's bad because they're starting to use the system. But it's nothing compared to what they've got. Every new car in Europe now spies on your face with a camera and reports back. Here to monitor drivers amid general safety regulation update. Same thing here. All cars sold in the EU now require a camera aimed at your face, and it's listening to you. EU mandates driver-facing cameras. It's the law. And it goes on. And you got people breaking now the news. Oh, my God. The government has all these hidden things and power poles and streetlights. And, yeah, they started putting them in 20 years ago under Homeland Security. Here's our article, March 26, 2012, everything is spying on you from InfoWars. They've taken it down, but the archives are public, and we detail it all. Federally funded streetlights capable of recording conversations, 2011. Smart streetlights track everything we do all the time, 2014. Company admits smart meter lights can analyze voices, track people, 2013. Not just buses, streetlights are also recording conversations. DHS official, you would never know if the streetlights were spying on you. 2011, Big Sis Twitter, spy streetlights. Goes on, 360 surveillance, how police use public-private partnerships to spy on Americans. Oh, the Wall Street Journal's telling us about it. All of this is already in place, but now they're rolling out because they have the data centers that aren't just for AI so you can make funny pictures. It's about controlling you. And they've already said at the World Economic Forum, the UN, that, oh, the lockdowns were a psychological test for carbon lockdowns in the future. You're only allowed to use your car 3 days a week, 15-minute cities. It's the same system. Get ready for stay-at-home orders. That's what the plan is all about. This is an admitted plan. The good news is we know the plan, turning the whole world into a giant panopticonic surveillance grid. Our special guest, Roger Avery, straight ahead. Share the live feeds now at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble. We'll be back.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the alicejonesstore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
We're doing man's work here. Fighting for the species as our forebears did. Building. Competing. Striving. Trailblazing. Maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible game-changing over-the-horizon information to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. The coordinates of victory. And Real Alex Jones on X. At AJN Live and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Roger Avery is our guest. He has written so many of my favorite movies. He has produced and directed so many of my favorite movies. In fact, when he was on 6 months ago, whenever it was, I went and reviewed his IMDb, and I'm like, I love that movie. I love that movie. I love that movie. I love that movie. I play the music from that movie. It's just absolutely crazy what a fan of I am of this guy. And when I saw him on Rogan, I don't normally have time to watch a whole podcast. I watched the whole thing. And then I watched it again a few weeks later. So it's great to have him with us. And I literally click with his understandings. And then I hear him talk about things. And a lot of times it takes me even further. And I learn something, which is always great. He's a Canadian-American film director, screenwriter, and producer. Best known for Academy Award-winning collaboration with Quentin Tarantino on the screenplay for Pulp Fiction. It's an incredible film. It never gets old, which earned them the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay for what he did. At Avery on X, Avery.com, A-V-A-R-Y. So I didn't talk to him before he came on. I said, please come on. Last week, we asked. He came on graciously. I kind of want to just, because I got a million questions, see what he thinks, where he wants to go. But I also want to get his view on the world philosophy of the bad guys, because it is vampiric. Mm-hmm. They follow the same rules, just what we're up against. And then just in general, where he sees the world today in Team Humanity versus Team Demon, or however he would quantify that. And then wherever he wants to go, I kind of want, because I'll talk a lot, folks. I perseverate. I'm kind of autistic on that. And when the better a guest is, the more I interrupt, because I want to say, oh, you're right, make my point like a little kid. But you heard my first questions, and then where do you want to go first? And obviously, I got plenty of things.
First of all, thank you for having me on again, Alex. I love you. I'm a big fan of your show, and when you called up, at any day you want me on, I'm here. I was just watching your segment on flock cameras, and it had me thinking about that immediately. I spent some time incarcerated, and when I was when I was in jail, you're in a tank, just like that show Oz, and you've got you're in a cell, and you've got a bunch of other guys in there, and then you've got the panopticon. I heard you use the word panopticon, and there's a guy up there. We called it the bubble. He's up there and he's looking at a whole bunch of pie slices, basically, that are all cell blocks. And, the whole thing about incarceration is that it's like a wine reduction of the real world. You see all the same behaviors and everything just becomes very apparent. Race relations become really, really apparent. The way, authority handles people becomes really apparent. And one of the things I noticed, right away was that there was a huge amount of, what they would call business going on. I mean, you follow the politics of, prison when you're there, but, there's a great amount of, allowance of people to kind of conduct their business. And their business is absolutely against the rules. People are passing stuff back and forth between, even when your cell doors are shut and locked, they're using a phishing technique to send stuff back and forth from cell to cell. People are violating the rules constantly, and the authority turns a blind eye to it until they don't want to. And so when I was listening to your thing about flock cameras, it got me thinking, flock cameras are just another way to turn the, our free world into, a prison planet. And this is, one of the ways to do it is just to watch people constantly. Just because they watch you doesn't mean that they don't allow a certain amount of business to occur. They turn a blind eye because that's how the mechanics of the world work. You have to allow a certain amount of illegal activity, or else, you piss off the true power, which tends to be a criminal element that is truly controlling everything from underneath the veil. And you have to allow them a certain amount of business. And, like one of the things you learn in that environment is that you can't really trust anyone. People side with groups. And then you learn that the guards are also siding with groups. The various deputies and guards that are looking over you, they just want to go home at the end of the day. They just want to live through the day. And so they turn a blind eye. The white guards are like aligned with the white gangs. The Latino guards are turning a blind eye, and they're aligned with the Latino gangs. And the black guards are aligned with the black gangs. And everybody's just kind of allowing a certain amount of stuff to happen. And whenever there's any kind of crime that happens, like, for instance, when somebody gets whacked, and I saw several people, one guy got hanged by his cellie, another guy got, trounced in the yard. But none of that ever happens unless there's a kind of consensus occurring and it's allowed to happen. So you have to you learn very quickly. You're following the rules of the institution, but you're also following the politics of the various power elements inside of that environment. If you don't, you get trounced on. And you're either taught a lesson or you're, taken out of the game.
And by the way, you totally nailed it. My dad's really smart and very learned and also street smart. And I remember being a little kid, like 9 years old, and he had books everywhere, and he had a big stack of Zbigniew Brzezinski books. He goes, as soon as you get big, you want to read these. This guy is kind of the master controller right now for the establishment. And it was the Technotronic Era and a couple others. And then as soon as I was like 12, 13, I read them, didn't fully understand it, read them again when I was like 25. But he says, we control all the gangs and all the criminals. The whole world's like a prison. We have the different racial gangs. The warden controls that. The guards all divide and conquer. And then they allow a certain level of criminality because then they can control the criminal networks and use the black markets to actually use that for muscle and control at every level. And then by controlling the black markets, we also then control all the other markets. And that's full spectrum dominance. My dad was explaining to me as a kid. I still remember there at the kitchen table, him explaining to me on a Saturday afternoon or whatever it was. And then wanting to read those books, you're planting those seeds of wanting to understand and wanting to be able, because I was already, you could read them good. He's like, you don't want to read comic books. You want to read this. And here's a collection of Julius Caesar's writings back to the Senate. He threw the Battle of Gaul at me. And I literally started reading that. And it's just, it was so addicting. And you just cut right to it there of the naivete. The public needs to get how this works. Please continue.
Well, like I'm a movie guy, right? Like I'm a filmmaker and I love movies. And so I always kind of relate things to the lessons that we can discover by a lot of smart people who are making films. And so there's a very good film called M, directed by Fritz Lang. You know, it was made just prior, to the wars in Europe. World War II, and he's talking about, in the movie, the actual plot of the movie is there's a pedophile who is snatching children off the street and, raping and killing them. And society is paralyzed by this. They're unable to, society is absolutely unable to catch the guy. It isn't until the criminals, the mob essentially gets together and they're like, hey, this is ruining business. This is ruining our business. And so they utilize their strength as the mob because the police are completely ineffective. And
exactly. And the elites use the mob. They basically control to do sneaky, underhanded stuff whenever
they
want.
Are the mob. They are the mob. And the cartels are the banks. At a certain point, they just, take over the bank. They become the bank. And so, when we're talking about these big banks, they're just mob operations. They're extensions of a cartel.
Well, I've never seen Fritz Lang's as him. I've obviously seen some of the others in Metropolis that is so groundbreaking about the technocracy and it being putting a spirit into the machine, which they all tell us is actually the plan. But I'll watch M. Is it the letter M or how do you spell it? Because I want to pull it up.
It's literally the letter M, which stands for murderer. And, what's aside from all of this, what's really fantastic about M is, like, for instance, the shot that you're showing right now, it's Fritz Lang's first sound film.
Wow.
So he had never made a sound movie before this. It was, everything was, silent films like Metropolis. And so he's experimenting with sound. And so every single shot in the movie, like these, it's all based on sound and using sound. Like this shot right here that you're showing right now, the backs of people's heads, you can have people talking. The device that they use to catch the criminal, and this shot, which is just a static shot of a balloon in a power line, juxtaposed against a mother saying, "Elsa," it suddenly becomes chilling. So he's doing this kind of thing using, and Peter Lorre, it's his first film.
And we see that ripped off in all the making of It the Clown. They're giving an ode to it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And any good filmmaker stands on the shoulders of many other filmmakers beneath them. And it's like these are, our grandfathers, our great grandfathers of cinema. And we kind of carry on these identities as we move forward. In fact, if you watch the films of Kubrick was Stanley Kubrick, 2001, Clockwork Orange. I think he's a magnificent filmmaker. But if you watch his films carefully, you realize, oh, he's a descendant of Fritz Lang. He studied Fritz Lang, and he studied, how Fritz Lang shot a film and assembled a film, and that's part of his vernacular that he's learned, his cinematic vernacular. And so, but anyhow, M is a prime example of as a sociological study of power. And what power will allow? Power will allow the murderer and the pedophile, and they'll in fact use them, to create a certain amount of chaos, because as long as those elements are out there, you're focused on them. You're not focused on the, what we used to call the 2%, which is now the 0.003%. You know, it's like, but you know, you won't focus on authority if you're focused on the chaos that's occurring around you. If you have someone else that you can point to and say, oh, I'm upset with them, I'm upset with my neighbor, or, you know, or any,
it's divide and conquer. Well, I remember, and in fact, my dad said that too, and it was in the books. He even says we allow the pedophile groups to operate and we even control them. And ask ChatGPT, because I remember which book it was, and I've read almost all his books. Ask ChatGPT, or the only thing it's good for, stuff like that, which Zbigniew Brzezinski book talks about how the elites allow and control and are basically behind all the criminal groups, including human trafficking and pedophiles. Because I think it's in two of his books. And he also wrote stuff before he died in books like, it's easier just to kill a million people now than to brainwash them. Brainwashing doesn't work as well anymore. And then this is the head of the Trilateral Commission, who we later learned the head of the Trilateral Commission was Jeffrey Epstein. I always knew he was a gopher on the board. I didn't realize it for decades. David let him go vote for him as his legate, his stand-in. And that's why he was the Rothschild representative, all that. And then there's all these emails. And they're in there talking about divide and conquer. And then I remember in the WikiLeaks was a bunch of emails with Hillary talking to the heads of university psychology departments saying we're losing the public. And they come back and say the answer is turn up the divide and conquer, the chaos, the crime and racial division, which we already knew, but there they are saying it. And then Soros gets all the DAs and judges in and they just let people run around and murder. It's all right there.
They're all tools. And, you know, and these tools are becoming refined because now we have these vast, vast data sets that are created by these collection systems, which they're not even asking for permission to put these flock cameras out. They're just popping them. I think you even said that. They're just putting them out there. Actually, I encourage anybody who has a web browser and a laptop or a computer to go check out deflock.org. Because you can see all the locations of the flock cameras that are surrounding you. And, I mean, I actually use it to figure out what is my exit path from wherever I am. You know, it's actually a pretty valuable tool, but,
okay. ChatGPT is saying between the two ages is the one. So
sure.
America's role in the technotronic era. There it is.
Between two ages, that's when everything happens, right? That's whenever there's a disruption of some kind.
And that's where we are in the fourth turning right now. So he wrote that in the 70s. Here we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all out there. I mean, look, people should be reading these books, and these books are becoming less and less available. I mean, you know, people should be reading Plato's Republic.
Oh.
You know, to understand, you know, I mean, it's the foundation of Western civilization.
And it's all in there, eugenics and keep, and we need to get rid of the poor. And I mean, you read that, it's like, oh my God, we're living this.
Yeah, exactly. But it also has the lesson of, why be a good person? Why do an act of good if no one is there to recognize it?
Oh, you're right. Well, that's what he does is he shows the how to be good and bad. It's just like, here's how things work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that and, of course, Machiavelli's The Prince is another excellent book to, you know, to learn about power and how the world works.
Why can't we get the public? There seems to be a great awakening happening to that they've been lied to, but people still don't get that they can learn these foundational systems. And just for business, even if you were a sociopath and just wanted power, they should know all this. But so many people just act like, oh, that doesn't exist. I don't even want to know that there's basically rules to the game and that basically it's like a 1984 where O'Brien gives him the revolutionary book of how it all works and how they're all doing it and how they are really bad. And then he goes, don't you get where the priest of power. And we just wanted to torture you and kill you because we thought you were a cool person and we like to hurt good people.
Yeah.
And he goes, but that doesn't make sense. It's satanic. Let's go to that. So the first thing I ask, what makes them want to know how the universe works, how they could empower people, how they could be a real aristocracy that was egalitarian and on top if they are supposedly superior? Why would you then want to purposely screw people up and dumb them down?
Well, I mean, the answer is always control. It always comes down to control. That's what authority and power seeks to do. And your common person, I mean, I mentioned this on Joe Rogan, the Latin phrase, mundus vult decipi, ergo decipiatur, which, you know, literally means the world, mundus, wants to be deceived, you know, vult decipi, ergo decipiatur, therefore it is deceived. So the world wants to be deceived, therefore it is deceived. And the reason it wants to be deceived is because people don't want to believe the atrocities. The atrocities that go around, that are going around them, they're too busy because they've been pushed to the edge by the mechanisms of power, which are, you know, money and debt. I mean, they say the debt, the world is in debt, trillions of dollars, you know, but to who? No. Like, to what? You know, it doesn't even exist. And the fact is, you know, money and debt and all, these are all mental constructs that are designed to imprison us. And,
wow.
And so people, because they're pushed to, you know, to just struggling to get through their day. I mean, there was a moment in Great Britain, I remember, and, the actor Tim Roth was telling me about it, that, you know, it doesn't matter what side it is, but in that case, it was, I think the Tories were in power and Labor, you know, was trying to make a play, you know, to get into power. But at the end of the day, the working man only cared about his pint. His pint at the end of the day is what mattered to him. He just didn't want to have that little tiny bit of solace and luxury taken away from him. And so it's that kind of fear that something little, something insignificant will be taken away from you, you know, will ruin your life.
Exactly. In 1984, it's all about the synthetic gin. Never take away their gin and never take away their lottery tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just keep people. I mean, it's bread and circuses. You know, you were talking about, Rome, and it's bread and circuses. That's how you control the population. It's not through luxuries. It's the aspiration of luxury, of course. You know, everybody thinks, I mean, America is built on the idea that any of us can become a billionaire. And I believe that that's true, because I think that there's an infinite amount of money, an infinite amount of love, an infinite amount of all these concepts that are out there. But at the end of the day, you know, people are afraid to have what little they have taken away from them. And so they're kept on the edge of the precipice. And because of this, you're able to control people. And now with the, you know, with the flock cameras and, you know, with AI and the various mechanisms of AI and the people who are in control of these gigantic data sets that are being collected, they're able to dial up and dial down. They can tell, I won't use company names because I don't want to, I don't want to single out any single company, because it's really, everybody is attempting to do this.
Exactly.
I think we know who the companies are. They can look at these data sets and say, hey, this is a high risk person who is, very vocal, who has something that we need, something that can be taken away, and they're at risk of assassination. And because they know that, they're able to dial up or dial down the metrics to allow the assassination or to hold it back. And so they're allowed, you know, they're able to, you know, just by tweaking dials.
Exactly. Without asking, and I'm not going to get into it, but I've told a little bit of this. Without asking, I have a private corporation, the CIA, whoever it is, and then later military. I love people go, oh, you know, the CIA gave you that. They just take over the phone, pop up an image and say, here's this person, here's this thing, or here's what this person's doing. And then one of the times I got in the car to go look, and sure as hell it was true. And I mean, I'm just like, wow. And they're like, well, we'd like to work with you. See, this is the magic power we'll give you. We'll give you the ruby red slippers. I mean, that's how crazy this is. And it's very enticing to actually want to be, you know, given the flying boots like, Icarus or whatever.
I have some experience with the agency, and, what people don't really realize is that, the agency is actually a whole bunch of little fiefdoms that are oftentimes working against each other. They're small groups of people. And so just because you think you're dealing with one aspect of the CIA, you're not dealing with necessarily
all,
with
all factions. It's all factions on target. Man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Roger Avery, Avery.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Can a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Well, Roger Avery's very gracious, but talking to him right now, we only got like 25 minutes left. He's very gracious. I'm going to ask him the next few weeks to come on for like a hour and a half or 2 hour commercial free podcast. So I can please. Cause you always know every answer and more because you've seen so much stuff. We were talking about how the system tries to capture you, and you were bringing up John Milius, one of the greatest writers and directors ever, which he wasn't captured, yeah. But I know him a little bit as well, and his daughter, which you're good friends with. So please continue.
During the break, we were talking about the agency and how they creep into your life and how they ingratiate themselves to you, and they start they use mechanisms to show you these are your vulnerabilities, which is kind of helpful, but it's also a threat. Nothing ever happens in Hollywood, or and Hollywood is really just a kind of extension of the government. It's a propaganda wing, of the government. And, I think so much USAID money was flowing into Hollywood, and that's where the messaging gets kind of channeled into motion pictures and sent out there. But, you exist in any kind of, system of power in like Hollywood for long enough, and pretty soon you find that you have a handler, and that there's that you're being handled in certain ways. And as you were mentioning, they will show you information about you and your life as a kind of like, this is your vulnerability and you got to watch out for this. And if you're aware, you realize that they're not so subtly telling you stay in your lane.
Exactly. And after that happened,
and just like the real world, they can dial up or dial down your success. And, that's how it works. That's how the system works.
Well,
movie I ever made was not made just like, the hits that I saw happening, behind bars. No movie I ever made, got made without being sanctioned on some level by the authority.
Do you think because of you being a little bit anti-establishment, that's why they threw you in prison?
Well, it's funny. I'm both, it's funny. Establishment people might think that I'm anti-establishment, and anti-establishment people might think that I'm pro-establishment. I consider myself pro-humanity.
Me too.
And pro-human and pro-humans.
I would say you're a maverick. I would say you're a maverick. And the NSA put reports out over a decade ago saying, we're not worried about, I have clips of them saying it, we're not worried about criminals or bad, but we're worried about interesting people.
Yeah, because, I am not afraid of saying what I know and how I know it, because look, I've been up and I've been down, and, the worst thing that happened to me was maybe simultaneously the best thing that happened to me, because it opened my eyes. I feel like I was asleep before, before it happened. And then you get a front row seat of this is how the world works. And then shortly after that, once I was released, I found myself far more aware of how I was being handled and who was handling me. And without going into details on that, it's one of the Hermetic laws. There's like seven laws of Hermes Trismegistus. And one of the Hermetic laws is, once you know the frame that you're in, that there are those above you and there are those beneath you. And where you run into trouble is when you try to exit your frame, when you try to see yourself as going above your position. Once you know your frame, you're then able to move within your frame. And that is what freedom is in this world. And so
knowing your lane,
and staying within it. And that is a kind of freedom. And so,
I've never taken deals from the establishment, but I've said, I disagree with a lot of you. It's a diverse group. There's different, as you said, factions. I want stability. I'm pro-human. There's a place in the world for good people. I am opposing you. But I don't want power, and I'm not trying to maneuver above you for power. And then they've got my MO. They know that. And they've done some nasty stuff. They've let bad guys try to kill me and stuff, but that's other subgroups. But at the same time, there's been a lot of stuff I never asked for where absolutely weird favors get done. And then right at the last moment, this hand jerks in and saves me and you don't even know who it is. I mean, it's weird. It's Twilight Zone, yeah. Folks.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you don't upset the business of authority. If you upset their business, That's the quickest way out of this reality.
And well, so, the way I would liken it is, it's like an old-fashioned nuclear power plant with thousands of dials and switches. It isn't that I work for the system or you do, and I've talked to some of these people. They see it as there's all these movements in, like, Pokemon cards they've got they're collecting. And so we're independent, we're real, or they're switches on the space shuttle. And so they may need to dial this up to counter that in a Hegelian dialectic or a third, fourth order consequence magnitude political mathematical equation, which is more art than, you know, science. There's a science of the art. And so they leave things out operating, and they curate it as they, how they want to grow it, how they want to influence it. Even though you're not controlled by them, at a certain point, they can try to hijack what you've done and move it at a certain point. So they want a diversity of systems that they control, but more and more, they don't want a diversity. They call that the end of history, and that's one arc of it, but there's other parts of the establishment that say that's too dangerous, and that's stagnant, and so they're moving against it. So I think there's a civil war within the factions. There always has been, but can you elaborate on factions?
Well, as you were just talking right now, I thought of Kanye West, and how Kanye thought he was a billionaire until someone threw a switch, and then he wasn't. You know, that what he thought he had was as easily taken away as it was given to him. And
exactly.
So, so then what you realize is, if that's how you identify yourself is by what they give you, and that's an illusion that can be taken away at any moment. And then you find yourself as someone who serves power. And so, what I learned and was actually, you know, a very close friend of mine who's now deceased, Stephen Bing, who was the producer of Beowulf.
Great movie.
The night before I went into, before I was incarcerated, the very night before you turn yourself in after court, he took me out to dinner and he brought with him, one of his guys. He was a construction guy, before he was a producer. And he had this guy who was sort of like a fixer who had, you know, spent a lot of time in prison over his life. And that guy sat me down. And the first thing he said is like, look, no one is your friend. They may pretend to be your friend. You may think they're your friend, but they are not your friend. They're trying to manipulate and control you. Secondly, be your own man. You know, you may get your ass beaten because of it, but that only happens once. And, you know, just be your own man. And so I took that, and, you know, that was the lesson I took with me into that environment. And I learned very quickly, you know, that was actually key to survival. Was I am not owned by anyone. And I had grown up watching this TV show, The Prisoner, the Patrick McGoohan show.
I love it.
And I realized as I was in that environment, all these lessons are inside of that TV show, The Prisoner. Patrick McGoohan was famously he was a Catholic, and he was offered to be James Bond after doing the show Secret Agent. And he said, no, I won't do it. And the reason was because he was faithful to his wife. He would not kiss another woman, even on camera, because it wasn't his wife. And this was a value that he had that was who he was. And it was actually part of the character in Secret Agent. And so he turned down, that offer to basically become,
Boy, he would have been a great James Bond. What an amazing, and of course, I've watched The Prisoner several times, bought it on DVD. Watched it again about 20 years ago. I need to watch it again. I got it in my garage and hope those DVDs still work.
The prisoner is in some ways about that because he's resigning. He's basically, and they want to know, why are you resigning? And he's like, I'm resigning because I am my own man. You know, I am.
And by the way, you probably know the plot better than I've forgotten most of it, but they tell you everything. I don't want to give it away, but I guess I am. They tell you everything in the first episode. His memory's been wiped somehow. Probably by him, because he knows he was the head, I think, of the agency. So to do that, he's wiping himself and saying, I'm done. He's obviously let them know that. They're not sure it's true. So he keeps saying, who is number one around here? I want to talk to the boss. And they go, you are number two. You've made yourself number two. But he still doesn't get it because his memory's wiped that he's the boss.
You know, yeah, in the very, very beginning, he's resigning his position as a secret agent. He goes into his handler, his controller. He throws down his letters of resignation. He resigns. They immediately put X's through his picture on his like little file card, and they drop it into a file folder called resigned, because there's other people who have resigned. And then he goes to his house and he's trying to, he's packing. He's basically run. He's going to go on the run. And this is at the top of every episode. He gets gassed. And then when he wakes up, he's in an apartment exactly like his apartment. And he opens up the blinds, but he's not in London anymore. He's on some weird island somewhere, which is a facsimile of the real world. It's called The Village. And The Village has everything that the real world has. It has a bakery. It has a postal service. It has telephones. It has a hierarchy.
And you wasn't it based on a real village they had in World War II for intelligence operatives?
Well, there was a village in World War II like that. They shot it in a town called Port Marion in
But is my memory fail? Was his memory wiped at the beginning of the show, too, or something?
His memory actually isn't wiped. What they want to know is, why did you resign? And he's like, I'm not going to tell you. And they're demanding it. And he's basically saying, look, I will not be folded, filed, stamped, briefed, debriefed, indexed, or numbered.
That's the famous thing, yeah.
I'm my own man.
I didn't
and
re-watch
the
it. I
line
can't
that
it.
They tell him, all you know, and they call him number six, which is just six of one, half a dozen of another. That's the joke behind
that's
it.
That's right. You are number six. That's right.
And he's like, and they say, well, who are you? And they're like, I am the new number two. There's always a new number two that comes into the village. And his question is, who is number one? And which is, that's what he wants to know throughout the village is, who is number one? And over the course of the entire show, they're constantly telling him, you are number six, until the last episode. And I'm about to give it away, but it kind of doesn't give it away. The last episode is highly oblique. But in the very, very last episode, they change the inflection. And they say, instead of saying, you are number six, they say, you are number six. So the reality is, he's number one. And that's the reality of the world, is we are all number one. And that's what authority doesn't want you to know.
Exactly. That,
because, you know, you ask, what is everybody trying to do? And, you know, why are they doing this? Why are they trying to do it? And effectively, what everyone is trying to do, the reason Hollywood is, the reason sacrifices occur, the reason people are all over Hollywood doing sex magic, is because they're all trying to recreate the Temple of Solomon. They're all trying to recreate this ability to, through manifestation and through magic, to kind of create the artifice that we know.
And that's what Israel with the Third Temple wants to do, and that's what the Vatican wants to do. It all goes back.
Yes.
It all goes back to the Tigris Euphrates. It all goes back to Egypt. It all goes back to the mystery schools. And it's just everywhere.
And what they don't want you to know is that you are number one. Each one of us has the power to create what our reality is in a single thought. You know, it's though the various everybody's constantly obsessed with sex magic because of, and which works, which you know, the Crowley method. I mean, it does work, but there's other methods. I mean, the surrendering to God and to Jesus is in itself the most purest form of freedom.
That's my method. But I've told the story, and it's 100% true. And I guess it was pedophilic. Yeah. I didn't think of it myself that way. I thought, wow, these senior girls like me when I'm 13. But I got roped into Aleister Crowley stuff.
I lived in Hollywood for a long time. I saw things that no human being should see. I recently saw a video of Ricky Schroeder, who's now, looked like he was living out in the desert somewhere in hiding, and basically saying, I am not afraid because I know that I stand with Jesus. And he basically talks about, you know, the tape that he saw that many of us have seen.
Yeah, I was blessed. I mean, I didn't get into, they were trying to recruit me. So it was just sex with older girls that were trying to recruit me into it. And then it was like, it happened like with at least three girls that, oh God, I'm so lucky. This girl's got a nice car. She's awesome. She's the best girl in the school. She's, and then as soon as I got out of that a few years later, oh, these hot college girls. And then it was, I was like, my God, it's like in the Lost Boys. They go, is everybody a vampire in this town? And that was Rockwall, yeah. That was Rockwall, Texas, yeah, outside and Dallas. Yes. And it was the richest county in Texas then.
Everybody is vampires, and I mean, we are all demons and angels simultaneously. We, you know, it all stems from man's disobedience, which is exactly why my next film is Paradise Lost. I mean, it's a movie that I'm just now, I finished the script and I'm going into production on it now. And
you're
it's
doing
all,
Paradise Lost? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's partly because, look, I made a choice at one point that, it's much more difficult to make, I mean, look, Hollywood is, the bread and butter of Hollywood is revenge and wrath. Like, that's what sells, traditionally. It's way more difficult to make, a movie or a TV series about forgiveness. And, you know, Paradise Lost is an examination of man's first disobedience. And I realized at a certain point that, and I'm doing it by, I'm using AI, generative imaging to, you know, to create the film just because I can do it at such a minor budget, at such a small budget. I mean, I still have a crew and I still have actors and everything, but, because I'm able to bring the budget so far down, I don't have to serve a master. You know, I don't have to serve a studio master with their messaging, which tends to be, more often than not, serving wrath and revenge.
And I've also followed that much that you have your own AI company, and you're absolutely right. It's like a gun or a tractor or anything. It's what we do with it. They don't want us to do that. That's why they want to control it and give liability protection to the big companies and try to shut down the little ones. What we've already done with AI and the ways we use it is very pro-human, and absolutely what we can do to the old studio system and other systems if we jump on using it now and get ahead of them is just incredible.
And it was really just a camera with costume design and locations and production design built into it. Like, that's one way to look at it. And I look at it as just the latest development in the long history of cinema, which has constantly had revolutions. You know, the very first films were black and white and silent. And at a certain point, sound came along. And in fact, when you look at the earliest of cinema, you know, the Lumiere brothers films, workers leaving the factory, or the train arriving at Cibet Station, these movies, which were just clips, they were just shooting real life. I'm sure that people in theater during those days would look at those films and say, oh, it's slop. You know, who will ever want to go see? Yes, it's interesting to look at, but it's, you know, it's just slop. Let's, you know, it will never match the majesty of theater where we feel the performer and blah, blah, blah. Well, eventually movies evolved from that. And we had silent films, which were, you know, like Metropolis and, you know, Fritz Lang's work that we talked about earlier. These were amazing works of art. And then sound came along and the silent actors were saying, oh, who would ever want sound? You know, when The Jazz Singer was actually the first sound film. Who would ever really want sound? It's a cheap trick. We have, and the movie Sunset Boulevard, Gloria Swanson has a line where she says, you know, we didn't need, sound back then. We had faces.
Well, that reminds me of Krugman saying in the mid 90s or whatever, the internet will be like the fax machine, nothing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's these people. Well, that's the thing.
Is
so many of the globalists
constantly evolving.
Exactly. Some of the globalists are like 80 years old. So whatever weird ideas they've got about what's happening now, they have no idea what's even going on with young people. I know they have specialists that understand all that, but there's real disconnects in the establishment. I think what you're saying about you are number one, we're all number one, when we realize it, is that the globalists actually aren't in full control unless we give the control over to them.
And that control happens here. That control begins here. You are free or imprisoned here, not the walls around you, because the entire world, this is what I learned when I was released, is that it was just a facsimile of the real world. The real world is as much a prison. It's just the bars are further away. The edge of the, you know, like when people talk about the edge of the universe or the edge of our known existence on the planet, it's all here. And the powers of manifestation and changing the reality are very simple. In fact, in the late 1930s, There was, let me see, what was her name? Helene Hadsell, I think was her name, who developed the SPEC technique. And SPEC is very simple. It's S-P-E-C. It's select it, project it, expect it, collect it. And by using those, by focusing on that, I mean, like a pitcher throwing a ball, you have to visualize that it's going to land in the catcher's mitt. You see the ball there before you throw it. And it's the same idea with SPEC technique. And by using this, you can create anything. I mean, nothing happens instantaneously like magic. You still have to go on the journey, but you're visualizing your way there. And the world is really just, it's electrons, you know, protons.
And that's why they're trying to program
protons bouncing into each other. It's a giant TV screen, and where it happens is here in your own brain. You can make the world whatever you want it to be.
And for people that don't understand this, I want you to elaborate on this. I'm sure you'll go somewhere. I'm not saying I know what you're going to say, but I want your view on this. This is my experience. They're programming us with all this failure, and we're victims. We don't have power, and demoralizing us so that we don't realize that. But also, with predictive programming, they're feeding us for what things they want, knowing out of our creativity, we will actually build it. You see the little g, like the first book of the Bible tells us we're not God, but made in the image of God and can be great creators. Look what we've done now, making AI, you know, all this stuff. We really are an incredible species, and if people start understanding they can direct their destiny to a certain degree and not let others direct it, that's what the system's really scared of, having our own dreams, not their dreams.
Yeah, through predictive programming and revelation of the method. They put forward these ideas of reality, and they basically, whenever anybody can even talk to you, when you're with a narcissist, they will put you down. And by putting you down, it's almost like a spell. And if it can affect you. And by when they manifest the word, I mean, you know, when we talk about what is God, it's the word.
God spoke and the light came, and God spoke and the waters were created, and it was good. Yeah.
My son is a linguist, and he was recently informing me on all this stuff, and because he's a genius, and he was telling me, well, the word hallelujah is actually A-I-O-U. It's the syllables put together. It's the vowels put together. And it's a way to effectively that speech and construction of language is the word, and that's how power is created. And people use neurolinguistic programming, especially in Hollywood and through movies. Movies are a kind of spell, and you can do a good spell or you can do a bad spell. And you put these ideas out into the universe, and as these through cinema, and as we watch movies, we are affected by these ideas. And people are, a vast majority of the population is very monkey see, monkey do, because they're asleep. And I don't mean that as a kind of slag on
no,
humanity.
You're telling them they're asleep so they can get out of it. Do 5 more minutes with us.
People need to wake up. People need to wake up and to realize these things. And so, when you go see a movie, and I you think about the various movies that are out there, when Spielberg made Disclosure Day, he's making that as a kind of programmatic message that he's putting out there to cast a spell, to cast an idea. When you see Project Hail Mary, it's a very different kind of whether you like these movies or not. It's irrelevant. Project Hail Mary is a film that's about self.
I liked it.
What is it?
Stay there.
What does it mean to self-actualize and self-sacrifice?
We got a hard break. We need 5 more minutes because you read my mind. I wanted to bring up the Disclosure movie, and I wanted to bring up the Pentagon releasing all the new UFO stuff. I wanted to get your view on that. 5 more minutes. We really appreciate you.
Example on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all. And secondly, if you notice at the end of that video, he advertises water filters.
Now, you remember for decades I exposed how bad the water supply was, and they'd have David Hogg make fun of me and say it was a scam, and so what if the frogs are gay from the chemicals or trans or become hermaphroditic? Well, that's because their populations collapse and they go extinct, dummy.
He advertises water filters. Interesting.
It's the same thing with humans. Our fertility is being crushed. Our cancer rates are off the charts, and it's because of all the garbage in the food, all the garbage in the water, everything that's happening in our environment, and water is what 70% or more of our bodies are made of. It is so important to do this. It is a no-brainer. Go look at our third-party studies. Go look at our third-party testing, and then go out and try to find a comparable system for less money. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So take your destiny in your hands. Don't let the globalists bomb you with these hundreds and hundreds, in some areas, thousands of chemicals. Don't let them bomb your children with it. Take action. Fund our information warfare operation against the globalists. Get healthier. Win-win. That is what it's all about. But you've got to take action. You've got to take control of your life. I am so proud of this bad boy. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead System. That's the housing. Just screws on in seconds. No plumbers. Beautiful box. Absolute high quality, and a happy little straight frog that you look up at every morning, reminding you that you're not poisoning yourself, your wife, your husband, your children. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In a few weeks with Roger Avery. If he ever comes to town, I got to get him in the studio. What an amazing individual, Avery.com. But in closing, I'm going to say, five more minutes. The UFOs, you know, all of it lined up with Spielberg's movies. The aliens are really talking to us. We've got to jack into them, not the Holy Spirit. What do you think all this is about? The Pentagon just released a whole bunch of new UFO files that are more crazier than the last ones. I thought was a nothing burger. We'll be covering this later after you're gone, obviously. But in 4 minutes, how does this fit into what's happening?
Well, I personally, and in a kind of very unpopular way, don't necessarily believe in aliens. What I think is these are dimensional manifestations. These are angels and demons that are being presented to us. But the narrative of aliens is being laid down onto us to keep us kind of in control. And we can see this in CIA playbooks, you know, dating back to the 1950s. They've been planning these various psyops, and aliens is one of them. And so I don't necessarily believe it. I think that what they're talking about are beings that are already here and have been here for a very, very long time and are just getting more and more, it's more and more difficult for them to hide. And so they're preparing to reveal these individuals to the world under the guise of aliens to explain away who these individuals are, because they walk among us and they live among us, they breed among us, and without sounding like a crazy person, there is a practical, I think a practical reality of who they are. And I think it dates back to Nephilim and, the very early, all of this is kind of inexistent in, historical texts, not just the Bible, but largely in the Bible. And a lot of these books have been taken out. But if you go back to, you know, Ezekiel and, you start seeing evidence of the Nephilim, which are only very briefly mentioned, throughout the Bible, but the Nephilim are they came in many, many forms, and when you look at old illuminated manuscripts and even historical records of
I was about to say creatures. The Sumerians, all their cuneiform is all matter of fact. And then they find it's all matter of fact about the gods down here and breeding with us and teaching us everything. And then all the other cultures are saying the same thing. It's like, no, this is serious.
Yeah, yeah, I really do believe that it's and so there are, you know, people use the term lizard people, for example, and who are they? Well, I think they've been here for a really, really long time, and they are no different than the Bellamy or the Satyrs or the foot people or all these other creatures that have been described by Herodotus back, you know, in ancient books when he was describing the world and, you know, Northern Africa, which has only been a desert, you know, a wasteland desert for a short time in history. And so these creatures are, have been among us is, I think, what it is. And so in preparation for them to be able to walk in the open, I think they're laying out these,
and that itself is a cover story and a mask. I agree. People that don't know, you dig anywhere in the Sahara, there's giant saltwater crocodiles, elephants right under there.
Cannonballs.
Yeah.
You find cannonballs from ships. You need only look at Mauritania to see where the location of Atlantis. It's in the eye of Africa. It's the concentric circles as described by Herodotus.
Roger Avery, you are one of the most interesting people ever. They need to replace the Dos Equis guy with you. Let's talk soon on and off air. We need to get together. Ed Avery on X, Avery.com. I salute you. Thank you so much. That was incredible.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, check me out on, Ed Avery. In fact, I'm doing a,
Hold on. We got Robert Barnes.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we had that hard break for stations, and we're finishing up with Roger Avery, legendary writer, filmmaker, producer, and he was talking about a few of the things he's doing, and then Robert Barnes is waiting in the waiting room. We're about to go to him with all the huge developments with the midterms, the trial he's following very closely with some pretty damning evidence coming out on Tyler Robinson, but then all the weird anomalies. And we'll be talking to Robert Barnes here in just a moment, but Roger Avery, Avery.com, at Avery on X. You were trying to make a point when the break slammed into you.
Oh yeah, I'm starting what is kind of like a film school, though I don't really want to call it a film school. It's basically subscribers. I'm going to be gathering together in a room and talking about cinema from the basics to the more complex stuff, from old style filmmaking, traditional filmmaking to AI filmmaking and modern prompting and modern production techniques. And I'll also be talking about film esoteria. I'm going to keep it mostly to cinema. Somebody was like, oh, are you going to talk about conspiracies? No, I'm not going to be so much talking about it unless it relates to movies. And so basically I'm just creating a place where I can talk regularly about cinema to people and give people practical knowledge that they can use moving forward in production.
Well, movies are the crossroads back and forth into everything, the looking glass. So just keeping it to movies, that's into everything. All right, Roger. Well, I can't wait to do the commercial-free podcast with you. And
Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, sir. That guy is really smart. I tell you, man, I could talk to him for 10 hours. And on target. And boy, I bet he's got some stories we'll dig out of him. All right. Robert Barnes joins us, the best lawyer I know and also one of the smartest lay historians out there. I want to cover a lot of topics with him. I want to get into the midterms. I want to get into Iran. I want to get in to what the Democrats are planning to do. And of course, he's been a lawyer for Trump as well, exposing election fraud. He's also been very critical, as I've been the last year. This changed trajectory. But obviously, he has been front and center on this Tyler Robinson case. And I want to be 1,000,000% clear here, okay? Because people want to pin me down on this, pin me down on that. I normally have a good idea what's going on with big subjects. I can predict what's going to happen with Iran. I can tell you about this and that. With this situation, this is a whodunit that gives me actual headaches. Because there are all these weird anomalies that don't make sense. I talked to people at the White House when Cash Patel says we're not looking at foreign governments and we're not going to look at the trainees that all said he'll be dead tomorrow. Why not? Those are great witnesses. Well, we don't think we can convict him. I got that from the high-level Team USA. I don't think a 30-odd-6 doesn't go through your neck. This stuff is all so weird. But then you got Tyler Robinson, you know, with the rifle on him, on his leg, and then, but also, how do you slap a telescopic scope on, and then it hits its target? Everybody knows that type of scope, that type of rifle, that it's going to be at least off 6-8 inches. You got to bore sight it and dial it in when you do that. So this is the greatest mystery ever. Because with JFK, now I was born after it, and later it was so much knowledge, but it was open and shut. Who did it? We have the witnesses, the whistleblowers, deathbed confessions. With this, it is just, gives me a headache. But now all this strong evidence is coming out that Tyler Robinson did say he did it, and there is all this evidence. But then you've got all these other amazing things that are happening. So I thought we should cover this first. And I know Barnes thinks he's guilty, basically. And I respect Barnes. He has a lot of integrity. He's obviously not on the Israeli payroll to say that, or whoever killed him. I still think it's an open book. And I think there could be reasonable doubt when they're saying, well, we can't conclusively say the bullet they dug out of him came from a 30-odd-6. They don't say it fragmented, whatever. But I mean, you could still, if it fragmented, you'd get rifling off part of it. You could reconstruct it, computer models. I mean, so that alone could be used as reasonable doubt. So we'll get his predictions for the trial on day 5 of the pretrial. Robert Barnes also has his own very popular podcast. You follow him on X, Barnes Law, as well. But you'd be hiding under a rock to not know where Barnes is, but everybody should follow him. So Barnes, let's tackle this first. Some listeners will be like, you had Lionel on thinking it's, a cover-up yesterday. Now this guy, yeah, because I don't know. And we don't have to get mad at Lionel thinking it's a cover-up or mad at Barnes thinking the official story overall is true. These are all nice, good, smart people that can disagree. Just like, I don't hate people that think the Iran war is the right thing, okay, even though I'm right. The neocons want to make it, you're Hitler, and we hate you, and then I'm supposed to hate Trump back and be an idiot. That's all mind control, folks, okay? We're Americans, we have a First Amendment, we're allowed to debate this, but I respect Barnes so much, and now what I'm seeing come out, it's moving me back over the direction to, at least he thinks he's the shooter. He looks like he's been to shock therapy or something. Looks like mind control 101, but that's also the trans drug addict culture of gamers and furries and all this stuff I had to learn about. So Barnes, give us your take and going into day 5, all these big developments. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem. So I think there's been broad-based confusion about what this is. This is just a preliminary hearing to establish whether there's probable cause he committed the crimes that he has been accused of committing, which include but are not limited to, there's some obstruction of justice and other charges in there mixed in with the death penalty charge for intentional murder under aggravated circumstances under Utah law. This case is being prosecuted by the local county prosecutor, supervised over by a local county judge within the state of Utah. There's some confusion out there that this is a federal case, that the FBI is prosecuting it. That is not the case. The preliminary hearing stage is a very low evidentiary standard. It only requires they show probable cause, which means that there is a reason to believe that a murder occurred and that Tyler Robinson committed it for the aggravated murder charge, and that there's aggravated circumstances present in how the murder was committed, namely that it was intentional, and that it was under certain circumstances like religious and political motivation for the murder. So the defense will not present much of its defense here. It's not productive for it to do so. They're better off the only advantage a defense lawyer has is to hold back their defense for trial. So I have no conclusion at this point as to whether Tyler Robinson is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt because the evidence hasn't been fully contested yet. I do believe the prosecution has met its probable cause standard. The other important things to notice here is that the probable cause standard allows for these hearings to present hearsay testimony, testimony that has not been challenged under cross-examination or confrontation of witnesses, allows testimony that doesn't meet maybe scientific standards for the purposes of trial itself. So it's a very, so not only is the standard of the burden the lowest burden in all of American law, but it is also allows evidence in that may not be allowed, admissible evidence at actual trial. So I think those are two important things to take into consideration. I know some people confused this with a trial, and so they thought Tyler Robinson was being denied due process. In fact, he's received more due process than almost all criminal defendants receive in America. He got advanced previews of all the discovery. That's very rare. He didn't have to even file a plea until the preliminary hearing, and he was able to delay the preliminary hearing for the better part of a year. That is very rare. He's got to cross-examine a bunch of witnesses, including state experts and federal experts, and that is very rare. Some people get confused because the ATF and FBI have witnesses testifying. That's because their labs are considered the most sophisticated labs in the country for testing DNA and forensic
evidence. Let me just interrupt you for a moment, which I'm good at, while you go over all the factoids. Then, if I misrepresented, I apologize. I follow a lot of your work, but I've been so busy the last few days, I wasn't able to. I just saw, you know, Lionel kind of on air like, I can't believe Barnes believes all of it and believes the story. And then I saw other people going, yeah, Barnes is. So I guess something you said, I just believed people that you were buying at least part of the official story. What do you think could have spurred them to think that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because I'm pointing out that they are meeting their probable cause standard and that there is a lot of evidence pointing to Tyler Robinson as the trigger man. My criticism of the, of those that have been raising alternative narratives is that they're looking at the wrong place. Trying to convince people Tyler Robinson has nothing to do with this is not going to be a productive path. That's the path that I said is like, you know, you experienced it where people went all the way down the rabbit hole on Sandy Hook, when they missed some of the more obvious places to look, like inadequate security, things like that. And so I think the same thing is happening in the Candace world, where if a piece of evidence, it potentially, you know, incriminates an Israel lobby, incriminates a conspiracy, incriminates somebody, but it exonerates Turning Point, a lot of the Candace crowd will ignore that evidence. So, for example, what the preliminary hearing has not shown at all to me is that there was no conspiracy here. It is not shown to me. Lance Twigg's testimony by video looked to me like someone that was involved in the murder, in my view, that was a co-conspirator. And I haven't explained how this.
I agree. Let's elaborate. He looked very sinister in things you said. Elaborate on that.
Yeah. So the question is, do you have a qui bono for someone else to have committed the murder? The answer is yes. People connected to the Israel lobby benefited from the murder of Charlie Kirk. Do you have unusual security lapses? We've often talked about when you look for, look for certain red flags of a false flag, which doesn't mean a murder didn't happen, doesn't mean a person didn't commit the murder. It just means all the culprits haven't been properly identified. Literally the pirates raising a false flag to get close to the ship to seize it. Doesn't mean the pirates didn't seize the ship. And so here there is a alternative qui bono. Now, a qui bono that made zero sense was blaming Turning Point, was blaming Erica Kirk, was blaming the other people at Turning Point. They lost her husband. She lost the father of her children. And all of them lost a close friend and the key source of their revenue and public support. So the qui bono ruled out Turning Point, but ruled in the possibility of the Israel lobby. And so if you look at that, then you go to second, is there an unusual security lapse? The unusual security lapse wasn't by Turning Point. Turning Point identified the security risk of that rooftop. And it was instead by the university police who lied to Turning Point and said they couldn't have a drone there, lied to Turning Point about saying it would be locked, lied to Turning Point saying they would have security there. That has also not been explained at all at this probable cause hearing. So to me, those are the paths, evidentiary paths, people should pursue as to broader suspects. Then we get to the third aspect. Everything about his communications with Lance, his lover, and the communications with people on the Discord board suggests somebody that's trying to, people looked at it and they said it feels kind of fake. Well, there's plenty of evidence that he made those texts. Those texts have now been introduced at every single evidentiary stage, from the servers at Discord, from the cell phones on that Twiggs possessed, from the cell phone that Tyler Robinson possessed, from the testimony of Lance Twiggs. All of have confirmed, and other police investigators, that in fact Tyler Robinson did send those texts communicating that he was the one responsible for the murder. But why would he send those texts unless it's possible they were co-conspirators? And he was trying to give them a heads up to clear out, clear up, get rid of what you need to get rid of. Dodge bullet. I'll take the hit. You know, I'll take the rap. He probably didn't think, based on him leaving the note behind for Lance Twiggs, that his lover, that that he would actually survive this.
When I read it, it sounds like it's a cover story for him. But let's unpack what you said earlier, because I know you're the expert on this, and I agree with you totally. I'm not against Candace Owens. But day one, they're saying it's Fort Huachuca, 12 colonels, a known con man who said his wife locked him in the garage, beat him up with a hammer, beat the car, took the keys, and then there's video of him convicted doing all that. I said, why are you doing this? They don't plan a murder of somebody with the wife and 12 colonels. That's not how it works the day before somewhere. That looked like a diversion rabbit trail away, that it's all about TPUSA. Everybody goes after them. And then you've got the Zen guy down there with all his political stuff going, I did it, I killed him, and then, oh, I did it so he could get away. You have 10 trannies in the 3 days before, and their supporters saying he'll be dead when he comes in a few days, he'll be dead tomorrow, see, he's dead. And then I talked to TPUSA, they say, yeah, Cash Kill said, we're not looking at them, yeah, they probably knew, but we can't convict them, we're not going there. They're witnesses. Then you've got all the other stuff that does, and now they find a full cartridge, unspent, 5.56, 223 up on the other roof. Now we know there are cops up there. Clearly, there's something going on bigger. We know there's a cover up. I totally agree. And then Israel does appear to have some fingerprints here. We have Joe Kemp saying, hey, there's a foreign government that's killed by Patel. I was giving this people in the meeting. First broke it. You know, and I just got, you know, fell off a turnip truck, folks. So I'm saying, I don't know, but this whole thing's obviously synthetic at certain levels, but then the left all celebrated him dying, said they were going to kill him, and then we're not supposed to look at that. So I think that's what you were getting at now, and what you're saying is there's all this evidence of something big and a cover-up, but then how are we all been misdirected on a TPUSA? Because I know a bunch of those guys, a bunch of, you know, basically nerd, mainline Republicans. I've known a bunch of them a long time, like, And then they're supposedly all in a giant conspiracy to kill somebody, even though there are weird anomalies. It doesn't add up. But them using another group, using it as a cutout, already having a story ready, that makes sense. So I'm going to shut up. Give us your take.
Yeah, exactly. I think people that are looking for additional culprits to this murder have concluded in their heads they must exclude the possibility of Tyler Robinson's involvement. And from the beginning, there was just too much evidence pointing to him, that it was his gun given to him by his father. They found his DNA on the gun. They found the etchings on the bullets. The etchings on the bullets were confirmed by Lance Twiggs, that there was an expired bullet there, that they had an unusual bullet that was used, that was of the kind that was designed to not leave an exit wound and explode upon impact effectively. They were able to document that. Felix Ammunition has done a good job, who makes his own ammunition, documenting that. They have him coming in. They have him coming out. They have him on the roof. They have him leaving the roof. They have him carrying something that looks like a gun under a towel. They found the gun under a towel. Has he had DNA on it? So people that were focused, it was always a trap to focus on excluding and exonerating Tyler Robinson. He was always likely the trigger man. The question was he alone in being that trigger man? Did people help him in getting access to that roof? Did people help him in initially getting away? Did people help him in originating the plan itself? And then did people help him in terms of radicalizing him, mind control activating him? Because this is a kid who a year ago didn't believe any of this stuff. A year ago wasn't involved in any of this, was a normie conservative from rural Utah, and suddenly becomes a radicalized, trans-obsessed killer. Murderer, assassin. So, you know, who's never done anything like this in his life, has no military background. So you start to aggregate these details and you're like, this feels like a Manchurian candidate. And then you find out he's part of these trans Discord communities, that is part of these Discord and other gamer communities. But communities that are connected to Antifa-related groups, Trantifa-related groups out of Salt Lake City that received funding from suspect NGOs that have ties to the Israel lobby, then you have the fact that, I mean, is there any nation in the world that brags about how many people they can murder for political reasons in Israel? Didn't they profit when we see the Iran war ongoing more than anybody from Charlie Kirk's death? I mean, it doesn't mean they're the alone had a motivation for it, but they at least had one of the primary motivations for it. Then we get Joe Kent trying to do an investigation. It was Turning Point's lead members that were told Joe Kent that that they suspected a role of the Israel lobby in Israel. That's why Joe Kent was pursuing.
We were told our own reporter was told that a month before on record.
Exactly.
Before he was killed.
So people, I think that Candace has got distracted by her, you know, whatever antagonism she has with people at Turning Point, and that in turn has led her to try to exonerate Tyler Robinson. And what that does is discredit everybody asking questions. And so my point to people is they're asking the wrong question. They're looking in the wrong place, which to me is actually evidence that there is a conspiracy afoot. Because, you know, why be there such aggressive effort to mislead people asking sincere questions? And so I've been saying that pretending Robinson had nothing to do with this would get nowhere and would discredit anybody pursuing that.
And by blaming Turning Point, and I was talking to him earlier on, they were thinking it could be foreign involvement or help. And then Patel says, no, we're not looking at the trannies all saying he'll be dead and celebrating. We're not looking at foreign control. That shows that, at least at the FBI, they're in on this.
Exactly. And why would they be in on it? And there's two different paths it could lead back to Israel lobby connected parties or expose intelligence assets. One could be an Israel lobby orchestrated event that might explain the unusual security lapse at the university that lied to Turning Point about securing the rooftop. And three different ways they lied to him. I mean, they lied to him about saying they couldn't have a drone. They lied to him because you have a constitutional right over certain airspace. They lied to him about that it would be locked that day. And they lied to him about, they said there would be cops up, the university cops up there. They did none of the three. Those three lies have never been explained. Haven't been explained in the preliminary hearing either. And that's a classic unusual security lapse. And then you have the possibility that you've been talking about it for a long time. Corbett's talked about it for a while. The trans movement doesn't come out of nowhere. This is not an extension of the gay rights movement.
MI6, CIA, 100% mind control, MK Ultra extension.
Exactly. If you can convince people they're not their own gender, what else can you convince them of, right?
Well, that's MK Ultra, is to create a new alter ego, create a new mind.
Bingo. And the trans is a perfect bridge to it. If you want Manchurian candidate control, the first precept, one of the best bridges to that is trans identity.
And notice they all dress the same. They all carve the things on the bullets. They all follow the same drug culture. They're being programmed. This is how you're trans and you have rage and you're going to kill. And so it's the perfect suicide bomber.
And Lance Twiggs all dressed up in a suit, looking like a nice preppy kid, reading like from a script. The reads more like an asset. Then he reads like,
when I saw the boyfriend, that guy looks like out of Central Casting, scary as hell. I mean, the way he's stone faced and all that.
And the way he's so controlled, I was like, this is not your typical tranny furry personality. Those people tend to be very unstable and all over the place.
I'm thinking this was his handler. I think this was his handler. This is obviously a bigger intellect. I'm just telling you, my radar goes off. It goes evil, 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 evil. You know, and my gut's never wrong. Neither is yours. Barnes, when you look at this Twiggs guy, I mean, does your evil radar not just go, like pegging?
You know, take a very normie perspective like Viva Fry. He was looking at this guy. He goes, this guy screams he's involved in this conspiracy. He screams there's something wrong here, something off here. And that's just your normie perspective. You know, and where could that lead? That could implicate the Israel lobby or it could implicate the intelligence community. This could be an op gone bad. This could be an op gone AWOL. We've talked about this multiple times. One of the risks and dangers of these kind of ops. That if this was such an op, let's see if we could take a normie middle American from rural Utah and radicalize him into becoming a murderer and assassin. Maybe not particularly for Charlie Kirk, just becoming a Manchurian candidate type personality. And because whatever it is highly curious. And very strange that the FBI never pursued this investigation into the larger group. And they immediately got to Twiggs to get use immunity and he appears to be in witness protection the way he kind of disappeared. So, I mean, that itself is odd. and usually somebody who's, if he was ideologically motivated, if he was truly part of the trans community from heart, mind, and soul, he'd be out there defending, Tyler Robinson. Instead, he's setting up Robinson to be the complete patsy and the sole patsy for the whole thing. And then you go deeper in to where a lot of the money and information come from. It comes from intel assets. It comes from people connected to the Israel lobby. Whatever it was, the FBI very quickly shut down all leads into a broader conspiracy and shut down all leads when Joe Kent tried to investigate. And I find both of that. And it's the three signs of a false flag. Qui bono of somebody else who could be a likely culprit. An unusual security lapse at the scene, but it wasn't by Turning Point. It was by the university police. And third, unusual aspects of the investigative leads not pursued.
Stay there. Let's come back and unpack that, because I'm just going to say this again, folks. My gut's never wrong, plus all the stuff he's talking about. This image and him when you do the blow up the video makes my skin crawl, because that is a together evil sociopathic person, in my opinion. Okay, and way superior to the patsy. I mean, this is bad. I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair and so much more. But the issue is our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I dropped the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor Big Lee came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, If you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the great gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Bad luck wind been blowing on my back. I was born to bring trouble wherever I'm at. Got a number 13 tattooed on my neck.
All right, Marn said it looks like this guy, Lance Twiggs, is in witness protection. I think they basically admit that. They admit they got him out of Utah. He's got this new life now. He's this good little Christian, you know, Mormon guy. This is, you know, in the local news here in Texas. Secret new life of Charlie Kirk's suspected trans lover is revealed as he breaks silence from suburban southern hideout. And it just goes into his whole new Mormon image and Christian conservative and all the things that he's doing. And now the Daily Mail can reveal how the pasty loner is quietly rebuilding his life hundreds of miles away. After reconciling with his strict Mormon family and relocating with them to Texas. So again, none of this screams normal. Very successful, wealthy family. You look at the guy and then all the letters and all the things around it, and it just screams set up of Tyler Robinson, who might have thought he was the shooter, might have thought he was the one. Clearly, I think there. But then you have the FBI wanting to cover up foreign involvement, or the whole support network that was celebrating, watch, he'll be dead tomorrow. And then I talked at the highest level, I mean, not the new head of it, but I talked at the highest levels of TPUSA, and they're like, no, we brought that up to, because we think somebody might be involved. This is, you know, early on, the first few months. Well, well, even after. I mean, I could call these people up right now. And they're like to Patel, hey, I mean, what about all these people that said they were going to kill him? Because like, we're getting blamed for this. All these people are saying they're going to kill him and they're celebrating. And who's this Zen guy? They're like, oh, we can't convict him. We're not looking at it. We're not interviewing him, any of this. They found out that some of them were never even interviewed. They're like, oh, he'll be dead tomorrow when he gives that speech. And they're in the town. They're not interviewed. So Barnes, continue. I'm interrupting. You're on fire here. You're joining me again tomorrow at noon central with all the updates, what we learned today. I'm going to do a 3 or 4 hour show tomorrow, kicking off at noon with other special guests. It'll be internet only. If the station's one, they can find it. But it'll be at Alex Jones, AlexJonesLive.com, the news site with the feeds and everything, and at Real Alex Jones on X and Rumble.com/ the Alex Jones Show Live. But go ahead, Barnes. Sorry.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, so we have a lot of what I wanted people to understand is just because Tyler Robinson is very likely the trigger man does not mean there was no other broader co-conspirators that have culpability connected to the murder and assassination and cover-up of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Because we've got we've got cui bono of other groups that could profit. The deep state could profit. Not just the trans community and the woke left could profit, but the Israel lobby and Israel itself could profit. Then we've got the unusual security lapses, and then we've got the investigative cover-ups. And that is that the FBI failed to follow up on any of the broader people who were saying that they knew the murder was going to happen that day in Utah, the various direct connections between Trantifa groups and Tyler and Lance Twiggs, his lover, the failure to follow up on Lance Twiggs' own history and connections, the way he talked like somebody who knew this was going down. He mentions him that he wanted to etch out things on his bullets. He claimed it was a month before. I suspect not. I suspect there was a problem. The problem was Twiggs had used his machinery to help Tyler Robinson put those little etchings about, you know, catch fascist and the various, you know, famous Antifa slogans and little, you know.
Around the country do, the serial killers, the school shooters, the shooters at the Texas ICE facilities. It's all the same M.O. So who's creating this culture? Oh, the FBI doesn't want to investigate why they're all following the exact same blueprint.
Correct. So, like, it appeared to me that Twiggs had two problems after Robinson was still alive after the murder. Problem one was that that there was the, you know, note left behind that was meant to probably be a cover-up, a covering letter, a CYA letter, assuming that Robinson died in the attempt at an assassination. And so he burnt that letter. But they had to explain why he burned that letter. If that letter was exonerating of Lance Twiggs, he would keep the letter. It was he became worried that it could be incriminating of him. Then you have this odd story about how he wanted to engrave on the bullets a month before for a hunting trip rather than for the assassination, when everything he's engraving on there is related to the assassination. And I don't
think that's my next question. How deceptive we're supposed to believe, oh, he had this, my tool. And then also, oh, Lance Twiggs, we never talked about politics or any of this, even though he was enraged and wanted to kill Kirk. I mean, that is somebody, in my opinion, because we were heard he did it for his lover. But now, oh, no, I know nothing. I know nothing.
Oh, exactly. And he feel, and then you get these what look like they were clearly truly sent text by Tyler Robinson, but their logic behind them doesn't make any sense. Why is he confessing to the Discord group? Why is he confessing to his lover? Why is he doing it in this stilted language? Unless it's intended to cover up their complicity, cover up their culpability, cover up. He's tipping them off. He's saying, I did it, everybody. I did it. Remember, I did it. And by the way, remember this note that's there. Remember this is over here. Remember that's over there. By the way, I'm going to turn myself in, everybody. I'm going to turn myself in. Hint, hint. That's how I took that.
And then Patel obliges by, I confirmed, killing the investigation into the little buddy boys. What does that mean?
So I think you add that up is this is an attempt. Once I think there was a belief that he would get caught or killed at the scene. And when that didn't happen, it hit some panic mode.
He was supposed to get the crooks treatment.
Yeah, exactly. And so he didn't get the crooks treatment, probably was supposed to have got the crooks treatment. And when that didn't happen.
But that's what my military special ops guys, that's what they think. Is what you're saying.
Right. And it makes sense. I mean, I think when you, the reality was turning point security was pretty tight. So there was only a loophole left in. Rather than some other ones. So he gets out quick. He's able to sort of dodge the bullet, so to speak, quite literally. Then is kind of surprised. He has the sort of same childish mind that you see in Lee Atwater, that you see in Saran Saran and some of these other people that might have been, that appear to have been Manchurian candidates of their own kind. He appears to be thinking he's doing it for his lover. But notice the other thing. I don't believe at all, and according to other people's testimony, what other people have told people that haven't yet testified, that Lance Twiggs talked about trans and politics all the time. And now he's pretending he never talked about it. That, you know, that doesn't hold. In other words, all of those parts of his statement appear to be tied up to cover up for him. Why were they afraid to bring him in to testify live in front of it? Because if he comes in and testifies effectively live, that Tyler Robinson probably cuts a plea deal for life in prison. I think that's probably what's still going to happen. I think they're going to have this all wrapped up because the preliminary hearing was so compelling against Robinson being the trigger man that he has major motivation to cut a plea deal to take a death penalty off the table. Everything about it, it screams that there's more culpable, complicit, conspiratorial parties. And then the question goes, is it just that group of trans activists? Were these trans activists not really trans activists at all, but their own form of assets, their own form of operation? And then you tie this into the Hollywood movie that just, you know, won Best Oscar, which was about trying to activate Antifa-style activists celebrating and make him look like Leo DiCaprio, their adversary, like some cruel, crazy racial authoritarian. Like
so let
John
me ask
Penn's
you this, and let me make an announcement. I'm doing Mario in the Fall next hour, very important. Jay Dyer is coming in and knocking it out of the park. He's always understands we have a buffer. I want you to get into Iran, Trump, the midterms. You're going to graciously, in about 3-4 minutes, host, which I'm going to love, because you do a great job, until about 12 after or so. We'll play a promo, and then Jay Dyer is loaded for bear. He'll take over for about 45 minutes or so. Then Harrison Smith comes in the War Room Live. But just putting bookends on this, we'll elaborate more tomorrow and knowing more. Where do you see this, just dead reckoning, this fiasco going? And then how is this going to affect Candace Owens, who we now have Turning Point USA Security suing her, or getting ready to? And people, and I'm not putting down Candace. I think she has the right to ask questions over, you know. But at the same time, how is this going to affect that whole world that only looks at the Fort Huachuca obvious disinfo to set her up? I mean, God, it was clear at the time. And then they're so tied to all of that that it's just TPUSA, and which is, you know, obviously ridiculous, folks. I mean, these people have never, these aren't even military people. I think, you know, like his actual crew, like going to kill him. Clearly some weird stuff's going on, though. Yeah, I thought maybe he's even still alive. I mean, because none of it makes sense. Barnes, putting bookends on this till tomorrow, what do you gut level think's happening, and what do you think comes out of this?
I think Tyler Robinson was likely the trigger man. I think Turning Point is completely exonerated, but I think the other parties that are complicit in this murder, or at least the cover-up of this murder, have not been identified and probably never will, because they successfully got both the prosecution to be constrained and got the critics to go down the wrong rabbit holes.
So are you predicting that he's going to get acquitted?
I think he's going to get a plea deal, and he's going to take the death penalty off the table, and we'll never get a full trial on this case.
All right, I want to play one more thing, and then you're going to shift gears into geopolitics. This is a whole reason I want to talk to you, but this is still captivating, and it shows the loss of confidence in the system is because the system's been so deceptive, so that's where we are. And then I just try to figure it out, and normally I can figure stuff out. I mean, this thing is so complex with so many anomalies and so much evidence on both sides. It is a conundrum wrapped in a riff. But here's a clip. Did you and Tyler ever discuss political issues like gender identity or LGBTQ rights? Tyler, Lance Twigs, no, you're just this big tranny, drugs, partying. Oh, you never discussed it, but he's going off to kill Charlie over stuff. So Robinson killed Charlie for being anti-trans, but never discussed gender identity issues with his trans furry loving boyfriend. I mean, I don't buy any of that. That's what Stu Peter said. I agree with Stu on not much, but that I do agree. Here's the clip. I want Barnes' take on it.
So he acted erratically. Was he pacing? Was he just sitting down, relaxing?
No, he was walking around a lot.
And that's within the home?
Mm-hmm.
And did he talk about what he had done?
Didn't go into detail. I just asked him in person if what he said was true the night before, and he said it was. He started crying a little bit and said he wishes he hadn't done it. And then kept going around and just doing stuff, I think, to keep himself busy or distracted or something.
Oh my God, I've never heard
such a talk about what he was going to do next.
So what do you make of that, Barnes? That's pretty incriminating crap.
Yeah, there's no question he confessed multiple times, but I suspect that's what he wasn't doing back at that apartment. He was, how do we cover this up for you? How do we clear you out of this, Lance? Let's figure out what our stories are going to be, how we're going to line this up. That's what I suspect happened in that apartment. That's why you would go back to that apartment. Doesn't that sound like a weird kind of way to confess? I think he's making that part up. I mean, I'm sure they knew he did it.
Well, it's obviously a cover story. It's like when those Democrats killed those Democrats up in Minnesota on June 14th last year. Instantly, the roommate runs out and says, I didn't do it. None of us were involved. Alex Jones and Trump got him killed. And then they catch the wife and a bunch of people with passports and cash and weapons. And then there were supposedly a bunch of other targets. Then the guy writes a letter. No, I was there to kill Democrats so that he could become, run for Senate. And of course, it all fit with their MO. And I mean, so just immediately, obviously, the first day I heard it, I said, that is a cover story to exonerate everyone. That's it.
Right. Exactly. That's what it reads like to me. And what we know is there's been inadequate investigation into it. It was not developed by the prosecutors at this preliminary hearing. It was not developed by the defense lawyers, because I think for the defense lawyers' perspective, going down that path doesn't help them, because it continues to point the finger at their client. So that's where they're caught in a trap where they don't have the incentive to try to develop the broader conspiracy evidence because it condemns their own client.
Exactly. So why isn't Patel going to the wider conspiracy? Because it ties into NGOs.
Correct. Exactly. There's clearly something deeper here that they want to hide. I don't know what it is. I just know that all the evidence points in the same direction, that it wasn't just Tyler Robinson involved in the murder and cover up of the murder of Tyler Robinson.
Yeah, I keep butchering it, and I don't want to get it wrong. Guys, type this in to, like, say Mark Twain quotes. It's not what you know for sure gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure isn't true gets you in trouble. And what he's, and I, because I've been saying that in the video and commenters put that quote up because I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I just know all of this isn't true. And that's what they don't like. Guys, try to put the Mark Twain quote. I'm going to do a plug, hand the baton to you, Mark, because I want to hear about Trump, the midterms, Iran, what the hell's going on there. You've always got the best inside baseball on it, but there it is. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. So I was flipping around. It ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. There you go. So I was butchering that, but there we got it right from the great Mark Twain. Listen, I only plug once today. I'm so on the news. And it is plugging the products that we sell you that keeps us on air. Plus, they're incredible products. They all work really great. I'm a smart salesman. I want you to love our T-shirts and books. I want you to love our water filtration for gravity-fed filters and for showers. They're the best, lowest prices. I want you to love everything we do, and the supplements are insane. Every purchase you make, actually every dollar you spend till just midnight tonight, is under sweepstake laws, so this sale ends tonight, puts you in 250 entries for every dollar you spend. So you spend $100, you get 25,000 entries in the sweepstakes. Normally it's 5 entries for every dollar you spend on the site. And this is that crossover every month where the old offer is ending, the new offer is about to start. So you have a chance till just tonight to win the 2026 Dodge Charger. That's the old offer that goes away tonight. And the new one that started this week, the 2026 Ram 250 Lariat. And plus $20,000 cash. So that this is your last chance by midnight central tonight to get in on the sweepstakes. And we had another lady that just won. In fact, when we go to break, little sub break, to hand the baton to Jay Dyer at like 12 after, we won't air a promo. We'll air that short interview with the winner, the latest winner of the last vehicle, because I want to get that on air. She's a great lady. It's just a few minutes long. And then, of course, the new big offer, only run for 3 days, is when you can also get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules and get another one free, 50% off. Also on Ultimate Creatine Power, we have the highest quality of that. We have the new shower heads. They're as low as $69 when you're a VIP. Similar systems are sold for like $130. Regular customers, $99. Cut out all the garbage that would go through your skin and that you breathe in the shower. So important. And it's got the Happy Straight Frog seal of approval literally on it. So it's a fun gift as well. And then we have the limited edition silver coins with the Jerusalem Cross, 1776, America Cessus Centennial on the other side, America 250, American Eagle, and more. An amazing coin. Over half of them have sold. We need the funds to finish the new studio, hire more hosts, more crew, and get bigger than InfoWars ever was. We're not giving up, but we can't do this fight without you. So I'm so thankful. And I forgot this. It's a flash sale. You spend $99 or more in the store, you automatically at checkout get $17.76 off. Folks, we're already discounting so much, that makes a bunch of things lost leaders, like the T-shirts and stuff. And we have a new T-shirt that says, "Don't spy on me," with a guy with a chainsaw cutting down a Flock camera system with the Gadsden snake on the right-hand shoulder. That's a badass shirt I designed, thealexshowstore.com. All right, Robert Barnes, till about 12 after, takes over on geopolitics and more. And be sure and go to X and type in Barnes_law. And you can also find him with his great podcast. Just search Robert Barnes Law, and he's everywhere kicking ass. Robert Barnes, take over, and you're back with me at noon tomorrow, my friend.
Absolutely. The wrap up of Tyler Robinson is that the Tyler Robinson is likely guilty. The outcome of the case is most likely a plea deal that takes the death penalty off the table. But that does not close out the possibilities of other culpable parties, including other people that were connected to the Trantifa movement, his lovers, the people that tried to distract and helped him exit that day by falsely claiming to be guilty. The various Trantifa, the Salt Lake City related movements that have NGO, governmental and other ties in funding, sourcing and assets used. All of that is yet to be developed. But I think people that go down the blame turning point path, have gone down a rabbit hole, incriminating the most innocent participants in the process. Where, and those going down the let's exonerate Tyler Robinson path got trapped into, basically, making themselves look incredulous in the process. So it's always, when you're looking at a potential false flag event, make sure to be disciplined in your analysis, not take the easy bait. And if you, because if you do, you end up with nobody believing you. You end up where some of the, like in the people criticizing what happened at Sandy Hook, they had legitimate criticism about whether or not there was adequate safety for those school systems. And they started to explore that possibility, whether pharmaceutical overmedication of young men was triggering these events, whether aspects of the coarsening nature of our culture and big tech were accelerating this dehumanization amongst part of our population. All that, you know, were legitimate, credible concerns if they had been fully explored. Instead, people went down rabbit holes pretending people didn't exist, that everybody was fake, that everybody was this or that. And what they did in the process is not only self-discredit their criticisms, but they let the true culprits, the big pharmaceutical companies, big tech companies, the local politicians that pocketed the money rather than protect the safety and security of those children adequately and competently off the hook. They're doing the same thing here. It's similar to 2020 election. 2020 election, if you looked at it, the most likely culprit were mass mail-in ballots. Mass mail-in ballots that were cast by people in unconstitutionally unqualified manner. What I mean by that, the Constitution required the rules set by the legislature of the state be the exclusive mechanism by which ballots could be cast and counted in the presidential election. Those rules required that people vote in a particular manner, identify themselves in a particular manner, be registered in a particular manner, have certain aspects to that registration. There are a bunch of people who are registered to vote that were not constitutionally qualified to vote in the presidential election of 2020. There are people who cast their ballots and the way they sent it back in terms of chain of custody, in terms of signing it to match their signature on the voter file that was not done in a constitutionally qualified manner. And then the votes were counted and cast, were counted in canvass in a manner that violated also the rules set by the state legislature for the canvassing and counting of ballots, including making sure the adequacy and accuracy of the chain of custody of that ballot, making sure that indeed there was accurate signatures matched on those ballots. That counting and canvassing did not take in many of take place in many of the states that were at issue in the presidential election of 2020. However, those issues, well developed in the Georgia election contest brought by President Trump, never heard by any court, never heard by anybody in terms of the testing the evidence and their legal sufficiency, because everybody was chasing Dominion. Everybody was chasing servers. Everybody was chasing computer systems. Everybody was chasing Venezuela and Iran and China and everything except what was glaring at them in the face, that they just stuffed the ballots the old-fashioned way. So every great crime needs a great patsy. That doesn't make Tyler Robinson the patsy. That makes where other people in pursuing questions and challenges, they've pursued the patsy rather than pursue the actual criminals. And it's because they've wanted to implicate and incriminate Turning Point rather than recognize under the qui bono analysis, Turning Point was never going to be culpable. Though those are the deep friends and family and closest family, and whose own professional and financial futures were dependent on the continued success of Charlie Kirk. They had every incentive for him not to die. So the people continuing to pursue that path obsessively were almost doomed to failure because they failed the very first test of looking at a false flag. Cui bono. If somebody didn't profit from it, they're not likely to be a suspect. Look to those that were. And had they done so adequately and sufficiently, maybe they wouldn't have been led down this perilous path of pretending Tyler Robinson had nothing to do with it and that Tyler Robinson was a complete patsy when he was the trigger man all along. But that doesn't mean he was the only man on that trigger in ways that involve culpability through conspiracy and cover-up. So the hopefully now people will use this as an educational lesson as to how to look at the world without buying into the institutional narrative, but without buying into the patsy, the bogus narrative that is itself a patsy instead. So the hopefully people will use it as that self-educating lesson. And hopefully we find out why was there unusual security lapses that day by the university police? Why did they mislead and misrepresent the facts to Turning Point? Why did the FBI under Kash Patel not investigate further the Trantifa connections and potential conspiracy? Why did they try to effectively cover up for Lance Twiggs? Why did they shut down Joe Kent's independent investigation and inquiry? Those are questions that are still yet to be answered. And the fact that Tyler Robinson was the likely trigger man does not answer those questions. And that's an important fact to remember going forward. As we look at the broader issues in terms of the what's going to happen in Iran, how that is going to impact U.S. politics, we'll get to that at the other side of the hour. It appears the president is deciding to back out and rug pull the memorandum of understanding that Vice President Vance was able to attain and achieve just a few weeks ago. President Trump admitted at that time and acknowledged at that time that what the MOU required was simply release of Iran's own money back to Iran. That what it required was the end of sanctions on Iran, recognizing, as the president himself acknowledged and admitted, that those sanctions are counterproductive for U.S. political and financial and economic interests.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3-5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Live Show. You can follow it at AlexJonesLive.com and at Real Alex Jones X and Alex Jones Live on Rumble. For this last five minute part where I'm here before we cut to the break and the other guest host come in, the key factor to look at in the Iran war is what's likely to happen. So what the president knew and what he admitted several weeks ago is that we're continuing to sanction Iran is counterproductive for U.S. interest. Continuing to hold on to Iranian assets, some of which we've been holding on to for over 50 years, is counterproductive to U.S. interest. That continuing a blockade on the Strait of Hormuz only means that many of the necessary, not only oil and gas, including natural gas, and including sweet crude, and including sour crude and heavy crude, but also a range of other petrochemicals and helium and fertilizers like urea and the like, things like sulfur that are essential in the high-tech economy and other aspects of our supply chain, that the continuing to keep the blockade only allowed Iran to continue to blockade other products, non-Iranian products out of the strait. And that was getting to the point where we would be on the verge, based on, he said, 4 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, he said in 4 weeks we would fall off the cliff in terms of the global economy. And yet here we are, apparently going back to that all over again. The president appears to have convinced himself that a coercive technique would work with Iran when it hasn't worked with Iran, hasn't worked with Russia, hasn't worked with China. Indeed, if there's three great civilizations, it is counterproductive to employ primarily and principally coercive tools against. It is the Russian bear, the Chinese panda, and the Persian tiger. And unfortunately, Trump has taken the bait to do all three. Economic coercion he attempted against China. They used their rare earth monopoly to get him to capitulate. Tried to use the threat of various kinds of attacks deep into Russia, including on its refineries and other aspects. Russia is now saying they will escalate their attacks on Ukraine and are considering even attacks on Europe. That, and Iran will do the same. We apparently, if we hit their infrastructure, they will hit the infrastructure of the Gulf and Israel. If we hit their water desalination plants, they will hit the water desalination plants of the Gulf countries in Israel, which are far more dependent on them, that could trigger a massive refugee crisis into Europe and around the world. That if we take out oil and gas and petrochemical infrastructure from Iran, they will do the same throughout the Gulf Coast, Gulf countries, and to Israel. That could trigger an economic disaster for more than a decade, because that's how long it may take to get those gas and oil and other petrochemical development infrastructure back online to full capacity. So the president has been trapped, and the Israel lobby is whispering in his ear, telling him it's Iran that's out to kill him. When if anybody, it's not Iran that delivered a golden pager to the president in their very first visit in the Oval Office of his second term. That would be Bibi Netanyahu. The lie that Iran is out to assassinate the president of the United States is hogwash and garbage. And everybody inside the CIA and the DNI and in the Pentagon knows it. And yet the president is being suckered and sapped back into the same trap, the escalation trap that Professor Pape has repeatedly warned about for more than two decades, which is you cannot use coercive tools to get what you want out of Iran. You can use, as Vice President Vance was pointing out, the release of sanctions, the release of funds, the economic engagement, economic investment as the carrot to bring Iran back to a more de-escalatory relationship with the United States, Israel, and the Gulf countries. But you're not going to get them there when they're screaming for revenge and waving the Shia red flag of revenge during the most attended funeral in world history. Over 45 million people in Iran and Iraq attended and honored and recognized the death of the former supreme leader and were screaming and chanting in every single street, revenge, revenge, revenge. Now was not the time to double down on coercive conduct and coercive conflict. Unfortunately, it's the one the president's path is pursuing. And what that means is disaster coming up for the midterms and massive economic risk. Let us hope, let us pray that Vice President Vance can step in and restore some degree of sanity to the president's decision-making as it relates to Iran, or the whole world faces deep, great global depression risk, and the United States faces a massive midterm revolutionary election that could knock the president himself out of office by June of this year, time in 2027. We'll be back after the break. Remember to continue to tune in and share the links to alexjoneslive.com, the real Alex Jones on X, and to
introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95%+ lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of GalaxyStore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at GalaxyStore.com.
We are here with Mr. and Mrs. Tack from Oregon. Mrs. Tack is the winner of the Alex Jones Store Bay Truck Giveaway. It's a brand new Ford Raptor and $10,000 in cash. How do you feel?
Amazed.
Yeah? Is it real?
Yes. It's,
no.
If Alex says it's real, it is real, and you guys are part of him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yes, ma'am.
This has been an answer to prayer. That's what I want to say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You got a long drive back, don't you?
Just to Tyler first.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to hang out there with family for a while.
Yeah.
And we get to drive there in this amazing truck.
Yeah,
yeah,
be a good road trip.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
The AlexJonesStore.com. 2 days left to get in this
Dodge Charger.
Tell the camera what you bought to get in her.
The sea moss gummies and the turmeric,
yep.
The gummies. I love those.
At the Alex Jones store?
At the Alex Jones store.
All right.
Yeah. I just donated.
Are you a subscriber too?
Yeah.
All right. You know,
the last 2 days she received resubs.
That's amazing.
Two subs.
So, and all subscribers too, I don't know if you know this, get double entries to win all the giveaways.
Oh.
So you get two times the entries on all the giveaways.
See, and you
so.
Know, I wasn't expecting to, I wasn't entering.
Yeah.
I was using the product.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, it's just a good little perk.
Thank yep. you so much. I'm so excited for y'all.
We're doing man's work here, fighting for the species as our forebears did, building, competing, striving, trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information. To share the live feeds now at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
Program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. What an amazing week. Alex's insane viral debate with Sneaky Sneeko. I'm glad that it came to that because I've been on Sneeko's channel doing debates before as well. We had a famous debate with Muslim Lantern, who has kind of gone into obscurity since the debate that I had with Muslim Lantern on Sneeko's channel, where Sneeko was the moderator. And now Alex, I think, has helped to hopefully retire the insane trend floating, trend wave riding, flip-flopping of the character Sneeko. But it also ties into Joe Rogan's interview with Rupert Lowe, the British politician, who highlighted the Fabian socialists, which you've heard me talking about for so many years. I've been highlighting and bringing attention to this because it's so important to understand the actual ideology of the global elites, whether it's the Rothschild, Milner, Fabian circles, or whether it's the Democratic Socialist Party, the Democratic Socialists of America, this ideology that's gaining so much momentum in terms of leftism. And what exactly is that relationship to Marxism? Is it classical Marxism? Is it something different? We're going to find out again as we rehearse the classic story of the Fabians today. And again, it's very crucial because Keir Starmer was a Fabian socialist. You go back in the last several decades of British politicians, the Labour Party, that was rebranded socialism. Fabian socialists became the Labour Party to hide what their real strategy was because Marxism socialism became very unpopular. So they really took over the left, so to speak. But it's Marxism that's reformed. It's Marxism blended with monopoly capital. This is really the best way to understand the ideology that's operant in the world that it sort of transcends the, for example, left Islamic ideology versus the Zionist ideology or something like that, because both of those ideologies have above them an overriding socialism known as Fabian socialism. Now, if you go back to the 1800s, Karl Marx, of course, was a socialist, a Marxist, obviously the founder of Marxism. But Marxism itself, in terms of an ideology of communism, does not begin with Marx. It goes back to earlier, prior to him, with the French Revolution. You had the Jacobins that were Marxist before Marx. They were communists. They had the same ideology, for example, as Adam Weishaupt, who was a communist. And we've seen in many writings of Sutton, the writings of Carol Quigley, we've seen it in the Rothschild's biography that we just covered last Friday, that a lot of these elite money power oligarchical families prefer Marxism because it allows them to have a centralization of the wealth of a nation to overthrow the existing power structure and to transfer that wealth offshore while they control everybody from a top-down technocratic ideology. Now, Sneeko ties into this because Sneeko is a useful dupe, and a lot of Islam is a useful dupe kind of ideology. It's a chess piece on the chessboard, like Zbigniew Brzezinski talks about with the grand chessboard. And so Marxism has this tool capability within it to be used, much like Islam. And so the Red-Green Alliance, the tying together of Islamic ideology with leftist socialist ideology, has been a very potent force. But it's not actually that antithetical to Zionism, even though you might think it is. The founders of utopian socialism themselves, it's not actually Karl Marx. Modern utopian socialism comes from Moses Hess, the famous rabbi, very influenced by Spinoza and his pantheism to create what would become the Zionist ideology. In fact, he was writing about Zionism way before anyone knew about this as a political ideology. In the 1860s, Moses Hess, in his book Rome and Jerusalem, wrote extensively about how he had already been talking to the Rothschilds, particularly Edmund the Rothschild, and that they were looking towards creating a new state, a new power bloc, you could say, perhaps, in the Middle East when the Rothschilds would eventually purchase large swaths of land from the Turkish Sultan. That would eventually become the modern nation state of Israel, although it would take many years before it would get recognized post-World War II. If you go to my channel, we had a lot of fun last night reviewing and commenting on Alex's debate with Sneeko. But it's important to realize that Sneeko, when he's out there at the soccer match cheering on the victory of Islam in New York and saying Mamdani is, right, part of this victory. Mamdani's out here marching with trannies, right? And then he's over here pushing Islam. And then Sneeko's tying into that. Well, none of these things are actually antithetical because if you go back to the 1890s, there was a new society created. The ideas were already there, but it wasn't really formalized as a unit until the early 1900s in terms of this society. They're not a secret society, so they operated more in the open. And the idea was to reform Marxism in the ways that it was very deficient. So Marxism, for example, had the idea, as in terms of its classical position from Marx, that the proletariat would rise up and then the working class would overthrow their capitalist oppressors and take over the means of production in the factories and whatnot. But it turned out that the workers were more concerned with wages and lunch break. They weren't that concerned with the nuances and the niche, crazy terminology of the schisms within Marxist intellectuals. And so they never got the workers to rise up. So what they realized was that we're going to need a different approach, right? They had tried terrorism, even back to the Paris Commune, red terror in the Paris Commune. Lenin and Trotsky relied on terror. But this didn't seem to really kick off the world revolution that a lot of these believers thought would take the world by storm. You had Mao using terror. You had a lot of people using terror, but they decided that they needed a different strategy. And so you have some of these ideologues, namely people like Beatrice and Sidney Webb, Lord Rothschild himself, at least certain sectors of the family. You had some members of the Royal Society, people like Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells, very famous member of the Fabian Society, probably the chief propagandist of this whole ideology, George Bernard Shaw, people like that. And many, many books have actually been written on this history, but it's not well known. There's a Rose Martin book, but better than all of these books is the book that we've highlighted many, many times, Yon Ratiu's book, because he understands it from the perspective of how controlled dialectics play into this, controlling both sides of conflicts from an academic perspective. It's not actually a conspiracy book. It's more like something like A Tragedy and Hope, but he also understands the Zionist angle as well. He understands the goal of the United Nations, as the second half of the book covers, is actually to put forth this sort of replacement demographic warfare program. The Kalergi plan is essentially what it is. But we have to understand that Marxism underwent several revolutions and phases within itself to come to the point where they would actually unite with big capital. This is so crucial. This is so key to understand the ideology of the World Economic Forum, of Davos. For example, one of my friends, Conrad over at World War Now, he put up a picture the other day on Twitter, got a lot of views, of Klaus, and Klaus Schwab has a bust of Vladimir Lenin behind him? Why would this big capitalist have the bust of Vladimir Lenin behind him? Why would David Rockefeller in the late 70s write a couple New York Times editorials? The most famous one is From a China Traveler, where he lauds and praises Mao Zedong. Why would they do this? Why would capitalists, mega capitalists, have such an infatuation, such a fascination with Marxism, socialism? In fact, David Rockefeller says that Mao's experiment in China was a wonderful success, and he thinks it should be a model that's used everywhere. Wait a minute, I thought he was a huge private property capitalist guy. No, when you get to a certain level of monopoly capital, what happens is you are above the ideas of petty nation state squabbles. We saw that in the model that the Rothschilds pioneered back in the 1800s. They figured out that you can move money and attain power through conflict, and that was much more important than this or that side of a European conflict. And that's how they, in part, built up such a massive imperial structure in terms of a banking empire. But to go back to the Fabians, they said, look, Marxism is not working the way that we thought. We're going to need the engine of money. We're going to need these big power players. So rather than trying to kill and overthrow the capitalist oppressors, perhaps we should convert them to our side. We need to have a long march through the institutions. And they believed exclusively in scientific government. So basically, they're scientific technocrats. They're all, by the way, eugenicists. And if you look up the history of the Fabian Society, this is something that they wanted to really convince Marxists, who maybe in other countries, perhaps in Russia, places like that, they weren't always on board with eugenics, because eugenics was essentially associated with the British Empire. It was associated with Malthus. It was associated with, you know, eventually later on, Tiny Mustache Man. But what about the idea of a socialist international technocracy that also blended itself with social Darwinism and eugenics and the idea of dysgenics? And they also had a unique idea to create an inner party, the inner party of the Fabian Society elite, that would include these very wealthy financiers. According to Ratiu, this initially included the Rothschilds, Lord Milner, and the people in those circles of Cecil Rhodes. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily Cecil Rhodes was a Fabian socialist, but the circles that were associated with, for example, Rhodes being a front for the Rothschilds in terms of De Beers and other diamond interests down in South Africa, the Fabian socialists said, no, Marx missed some of these ideas, thinking that the workers would rise up. We need a scientific priest class that would rule, not the workers taking over the means of production. So they favored a scientific governance model, a managerial, top-down managerial structure, ruled by experts. They would all be rationalists and members of different scientific societies, namely, for example, the Royal Society. And so they decided that when there was a lot of not a lot of popularity for socialism after a lot of death and destruction, they rebranded as the Labour Party in the UK. Now, the Fabian socialists are not just the Labour Party. As I'm pointing out, Fabian socialist ideology is everywhere, whether people know about the Fabian Society or not. And so I'm thrilled to see Rupert Lowe going on Joe Rogan, highlighting this ideology, because this really is the operating overall ideology of what we call the globalists in the 20th century. It's not antithetical to, well, you're not talking about the Zionists. How come you're not talking about the Zionists? It's the same ideology. Lord Rothschild, who ends up being the patron ultimately of the founding of the nation state of Israel, namely Edmund de Rothschild, those same circles, as Ratiu shows, were the ones promoting and funding initially the Fabian socialists. And this is everybody from Madame Blavatsky to John Maynard Keynes. Now, Keynes himself was not a member of the Fabian Society. However, he was a Skittles PDF economist that becomes the main economist of the entire 20th century. The post-World War II Bretton Woods system is the implementation of Keynesian economic theory pretty much throughout the Western world and much of the world. That is a, fiat-based currency, a debt-based strategy for monetary policy, ever-expanding printing of the money supply. It's a strategy of economics based on war, If you want, there's a great book on this, which is mainly about the history of monetary policy by Saifedean Ammous. It's called The Bitcoin Standard. The first half of the book is actually just Austrian economic analysis of monetary policy and critiquing Keynesianism. But Keynes is, quote, the official economist of the Fabian socialist. So you understand it's not really capitalism. It's not 100% Marxism. It's, again, this blended synthesis third way approach, And they realized that they needed more than just economic theory. They also needed culture theory. They needed ways to approach culture. They needed ways to approach all of society to reform it. And they needed to have a better strategy of using religion. So it's not going to be just convincing workers or handing out pamphlets or getting rich people to fund other, you know, socialist tea parties or something like that. I don't mean tea party, like, I mean like socialite tea parties. No, they need to recruit the elite of society, get them into running this leftism, and it can be united with various other ideologies as chess pieces as well. For example, in 1910, 1920, the early Fabian socialists in the UK explicitly said, we will bring Islam into the UK. This will be a test tube to see how we can destroy the existing remnants of Christian society. They actually said this. You have to understand, Bertrand Russell, Beatrice Sidney Webb, these people, George Bernard Shaw, they absolutely despised Christianity. So they were looking for ways that they could bring it down, but they knew they weren't able to do it just on their own. But if they could bring in massive amounts of other people, particularly with Islam, they might be able to revolutionize and change the entire English nation. And again, they think they have a right to do this because they believe that everything that existed before is oppression. They saw it, quote, as their social justice mandate. Did you know the term social justice actually comes from not just Marxists and socialists and Lenin, but particularly from the Fabian socialists? The Fabian socialists were not antithetical to the Bolsheviks. In fact, Beatrice and Sidney Webb, others, they had numerous correspondences and letters with Krupskaya, V.I. Lenin's wife, and they were adamant supporters of the Bolshevik Revolution. So they realized that we got to infiltrate from within, we got to bring it down from within, and this is why the right wing is so ineffective for the last perhaps century and actually really accomplishing anything, is because they're almost always fighting against a faulty, phony opponent. They will never identify subversive from within. The right has somehow become so stupid and so naive as to think that anybody who says one principle or one point that agrees with, quote, conservatism, well, they must be on our side. We must go with them. But as Rod Tew notes, throughout the history of the Fabian socialists, their whole strategy was also to create false conservative opposition. So they would have people that were in league with them running as fake Tory, you know, conservative type opponents. And thus, they were able to consistently gain ground long term. Remember what we saw with the Rothschilds biography. They were successful, not because of just using banking and usury or whatever, but also because they had long term generational thinking. And the Fabian socialists, even though they were crazy, wicked socialists, at least understood that it would take a long time to implement this. That's why they have as one of their symbols the tortoise, because it's a slow kill, gradual model. And this goes back to the Roman general Fabian. This is where they took their ideology to take not just an immediate approach like Marx had, that the workers would just immediately rise up and overthrow, but rather to go for a gradual strategy. Marxism also fell out of favor, and so they realized they would have to kind of rebrand. They couldn't just call themselves followers of Marx or whatever. So they chose, you know, much more innocuous names. The Labor Party. We're the party of the workers. And again, we have to highlight that a lot of people don't realize that Karl Marx himself was not anti-capital. People think that Marxism is just about overthrowing capitalism. This is one of the major misconceptions about Marxism, at least classical Marxism. In fact, the Fabians themselves could cite Marx and say, look, Marx didn't hate capitalism like people think. Marx thought that it was oppressive, but Marx thought that history had these determined phases. They weren't determined in the sense that they had to come about, but at least that whatever was going on with determinism in terms of material dialectics, right? History is just dialectical materialism or historical materialism, whichever branch of Marxism you choose. So it has a determined future. We don't know what that future is, but Marx thought you could study the past and you could see the cycles of determined phases and perhaps project possible determined futures. So in other words, history and the future is determined by dialectical materialism, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future. We don't have that power. So if we look to the past and we saw, as Marx argued, that the feudal system collapsed and gave rise to capitalism and Homo economicus, economic man. The economic phase is when you get Ricardo, laissez-faire, John Locke, Adam Smith. They gave rise to a new phase of economic man. And as we saw in the Rothschilds biography, the Rothschilds themselves exemplified that capitalist model destroying the feudal model. They were the new lords of the new coming era of being ruled by banks, being ruled by international finance. And so Marx said, that's still oppressive, but it's not wrong or bad in itself. Nothing's wrong or bad in itself. It's just a phase. And Marx thought capitalism was better than feudalism, and there's no way that we could ever go back in time. We can't go back to feudalism per se, but we can hope for a future where we evolve to the next phase, which Marx thought would be big state communism, right? So, for example, Mao or Stalin, Marx kind of thought that would be the next phase. Marx believed that after that phase, there would be the libertarian phase. This is what blows everybody's mind. People don't know that people get lose their mind when I say this, that Marx was actually a libertarian. Marx thought that technology would eventually give rise to the alleviation of the workers. And after the big state communist powers fell, then we would have the phase of libertarianism.
And a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often there are things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting that at the, you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jason Ellis. I want to remind you guys that if you go to my X account, you will see various posters for upcoming debates. I will be debating at DebateCon in Dallas coming up in a couple weeks, July 25 and 26. And you can get tickets there at the links if you see I'll be debating a couple Muslims at that. And then we have future debates coming up. And I want to remind everybody that my big interview with Tucker Carlson will be out Monday. Big, big, big interview. We went on for over 2 hours about everything. We went from Satanism to Hollywood to transhumanism to Christianity, you name it. It's all going to be dropping Monday. So look for that big Tucker Carlson interview. I was very honored to be up there. Had a great conversation. Spent the whole day with Tucker. It was awesome. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. So be sure and check that out. And when it comes out, be sure and share it, clip it, et cetera. Now, we're talking about the institutions that have the ideology then of Fabian socialism, because after they began to import various Islamic teachers at Oxford, Eton, et cetera, Cambridge in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s, they initially just brought in Muslims who were Sufi. And for those that don't know, Sufi Islam is much more mystical, very influenced by almost copy and pasted version of Neoplatonism. And that allows it to be a lot more ecumenist and syncretist. And, oh, yeah, we kind of like all these different religions and they're all kind of amenable. And so, but that prepared the way for the eventual bringing in many decades later of all of the Sunni, Salafi, Wahhabi kind of radical Muslims, the Orthodox Muslims. And so, there was a strategy even behind that where when they brought in certain academics to teach in the 1910s to 20s in Oxford's Middle Eastern department, Arab studies, we were just having one professor and, oh, he's just going to set up one little Islamic study society. Don't worry about it. No big deal. Don't be racist. Now we have basically the Islamification of London. But why? Why is it Sadiq Khan? Why is it all the Muslims in London and in the UK? Because the Fabian socialist elites of the 1910s, 20s, and 30s explicitly said, we can wipe out the white Christian majority in the West only through using Islam. It's really the only tool that they had when they realized that the workers wouldn't rise up. And they could change society and create this internationalism through bringing in a Islamic horde. And then that would completely change the demographics. So this is not against the Kalergi plan. It's the exact same plan as Kalergi, as the Fabian socialists themselves said. In other words, Bertrand Russell, George Bernard Shaw, they explicitly all said this. They said, if we're going to have a future world based around at that time, what they said was the League of Nations. Did you know the League of Nations' whole ideology was Fabian socialism?
Woodrow Wilson, Fabian Socialist. We've had Fabian Socialist presidents in the United States of America. And Woodrow Wilson was handled, as is pretty much admitted by most historians now, by Colonel Edwin Mandel House, working at the behest of the Rothschilds. So the League of Nations, United Nations, which was the Empire Strikes Back version of the League of Nations because it failed, those all were Fabian Socialist institutions. In fact, the EU in 1931 had already begun to implement this strategy of Fabian Socialism. But again, this is not located only in the UK. This is not located only in the ideology of the European Union. People like Jean Monnet, other figures who were very important in the EU, but also the heads of British intelligence, the beginning of MI5 and MI6, were Fabian Socialists. In fact, the heads of the OSS and CIA, very early on, Keynesian and Fabian Socialist members or believers. And if you don't know, David Rockefeller's own thesis advisor, I think when he was doing his grad, his master's work, was from the Austrian Economic School. But then he also had another thesis advisor named Harold Lasky, who was America's most famous Fabian Socialist professor. In fact, Harold Lasky would travel the entire country throughout those decades, preaching and teaching the gospel of Fabian Socialism. And so it's actually globo-capitalism, monopoly capitalism, that will build the order and the infrastructure that the Fabian Socialists would take over. This is their explicit plan. They note, for example, that this was some of their early 1910s and 20s strategies. We would remove territorial boundaries for Britain and other European nations. They would eventually erode these, allowing them to more easily transition into a global version of the EU and the United Nations. All ethnic tradition and boundaries would be eroded through state-imposed mass immigration. This is from the 20s and 30s. Okay? This is a long-term plan. This wasn't something that was cooked up by leftists 5 years ago or two. It's not AOC and Joe Biden that cooked all this up. Cultural boundaries would also be eroded through the weaponization of the term multiculturalism. Religious boundaries would be eroded through syncretism, ecumenism, and multi-religionism, they called it back then. They would need the policy and the power and strategy of the power of the monopoly capitalists to actually do the work. Then Islamicization would come in and change the people groups so that it could transition down the road into a socialist technocracy. Notice, in the 10s and 20s, this book is so important. I don't even know if it's out of print or if you can still get it. I mean, there's an entire chapter on using Islam in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s for where we are now. They were 100 years ahead of everybody else in planning this stuff. Now, I mentioned as well that, oh, well, this is just some British political thing. Who cares what a bunch of British political operatives are up to? No, you don't understand. The organizations that were all set up that run the world or the Western world, the Atlantis' power block. When I say Atlantis' power block, that doesn't mean not Israel. Obviously, Israel is part of that. It just means the way that international relations describes power blocks in the world. That's all it is. You had, for example, the erection of multiple international institutions that would promote all of these systems. And these are the systems pioneered by Lord Rothschild, Lord Milner, Lord Curtis, Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells. All of these are essentially the Fabian Socialist institutions. So I'll list some of these. You may have heard of these. The Royal Institute for International Affairs. Their governing ideology is Fabian Socialist. The League of Nations. The International Labor Organization. The International World Court, set up in 1920. The famous figures out of the UK like Lionel Curtis, Arnold Toynbee, people like John Maynard Keynes are all using Fabian ideology. So it doesn't really matter if you're a member of the society. That doesn't matter. It's just if you have the ideology, that's the main point. The Council on Foreign Relations, 1921, set up with Rockefeller money, has as its ideology Fabian socialism. The Socialist Christian League in the 1930s. The World Bank, set up in 1944, set up by Fabian socialist ideology. The World Parliament Association, which eventually you get the United Nations in 1945. The International Monetary Fund, Keynesian Fabian socialist economics. The World Council of Churches, set up by Rockefeller money. The Aspen Institute. So again, biggest think tanks, all of these NGOs, think tanks, foundations, not all of them, but many of them have this governing basic ideology. And to be an actual member of the inner party is a different thing, right? And if you don't know, when George Orwell, who wrote, obviously, Eric Blair wrote 1984, the organization that he's fighting or that he thinks he's fighting is INGSOC, right? Everybody's seen INGSOC. That's English socialism, INGSOC. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about the Fabians because he was amongst these people. He's talking about Bertrand Russell, H.G. Wells. He's talking about George Bernard Shaw. He's talking about Beatrice and Sidney Webb. He's talking about Lord Rothschild. Those are the members that are the inner party people, you see. If you remember, in 1984, there's an outer party of all these people that think that they're working for the greater good. There's an inner party elite, a very small number of people who are actually aware and self-aware of what they're actually up to create a global technocratic socialist order. Rottu notes, for example, on page 103, George Orwell, who wrote 1984, was written with the Fabian Society's 100th anniversary in mind. This was one of the few works by an ex-Fabian that actually criticized their form of socialism, or INGSOC, English socialism. Although this book was intended as a, quote, satirical work, Orwell's book betrays an intimate knowledge of their movement, its leadership, their techniques, methods, and aims, and it accurately and uncannily predicted a future Fabian-controlled New World Order. That's what 1984 is about. It's about this. It's about Keir Starmer, Sadiq Khan, Blair, all those people. But it's not just them. It's David Rockefeller. It's Lord Rothschild. And it doesn't matter if they're capitalists. They see these things as ideological tools and technologies of control. And so, yeah, sometimes they'll fund a right-wing group. Sometimes they'll fund an Islamic terrorist group. Doesn't matter, because the overall plan is much greater than some ideology. But it's these people, as Rupert Lowe has noted, and as he said to Joe Rogan, these are the people that pioneered 100-plus years ago the idea of radically changing Europe and the UK and also the West with Islam. And that's not antithetical to Jewish or Zionist interests, because as we've seen from Netanyahu, he doesn't care if all of the Palestinian Hamas people come to the U.S. Many rabbis have said, Islam is the broom of Judaism. So they see it as something akin to a kind of Noahide position, right? It's not exactly the Noahide position. It doesn't mean that they like Islam. It doesn't mean that they're believers in Islam. It just means that they providentially see it as aiding ultimately the ascendancy of a Jerusalem Tel Aviv-based world order. In fact, Moses Hess even says that. About Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, so Jerusalem mainly being the future center of world power, he says. So they have an idea of a Jerusalem-centric New World Order. Not every technocrat believes that or cares about that. I don't think Zbigniew Brzezinski cared about a Jerusalem-based New World Order, but he certainly believed, like the Fabian Socialist, in a future technocratic social order. Another one of the key figures here is the Bilderberg Group. This was created by Fabian socialists Joseph Redinger, Hugh Gatzkell, and Dennis Healy, together in collaboration with the Rockefeller family. That's explicitly in the Rockefeller's biography and David Rockefeller's memoirs. He has a whole chapter on his role in helping to prop up and create Bilderberg. He wasn't the only one. There was also former SS, you know, Prince Bernhard was a key player in that. So that shows you that at that level, right, you can be above Nazi or Zionist ideology. You can be supra international at that level of high tier finance. That's why the British Empire, for example, had no problem, or the West, or should I say Western CIA, et cetera, they had no problem utilizing Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Galen to train the Mossad. And that's all on record. That's all in Israeli papers. Again, at that level, things are above these localized microcosm ideologies that people are debating. Until we understand that what's at root here in terms of the battle in the West is not these stupid political parties of left and right. That's all part of the dialectic, right? I know most of this audience knows that the two-party duopoly is fake and gay, but I'm saying it's not even American two-party duopoly. It's the same structure in Canada. It's the same structure in the English Commonwealth nations that are all run by Fabian socialism. So Mamdani is the perfect example of exactly what you see with Sadiq Khan in London. Mamdani is that same model in New York. And dummies like Sneeko think that they're actually part of some real crusade for, you know, human rights through promoting Islam, which is itself retarded. No, it's actually management by experts and technocrats, many layers and levels above people like Sneeko, right? Think about Hassan Piker, same situation, leftist, socialist, you know, oh yeah, Islam's great. All these things are great. Bring all these people in. That'll help destroy America. The battle's not with America. Battle's not with white Christians. The battle is with these technocrats, and that's not antithetical to Zionist interest because Zionism is itself a socialist movement. It's one of the flavors of Marxism socialism. All of the Fabians were pro-dysgenics, not just eugenics of finding a good mate to pair with to have good offspring, but dysgenics, particularly getting rid of Western white Christians. George Bernard Shaw said, we must create a mongrelized public and get rid of the white Christian population. That is the only way that we would de-Christianize the West. He says that explicitly. So this is the ultimate atheist Islamic or leftist Islamic alliance. Muslims, they're not that typically perceptive or intelligent. They don't realize that they're being used as a puzzle, as a chess piece on the chessboard. But all of these people, whether it was Annie Besant of United Nations fame, this stupid witch, right, or Bertrand Russell, they all said Islam could be a great tool to help us spread Fabian socialism. Now, again, this is kind of stupid, but they believe that they could actually convert Islam to a form of socialism. I don't think they will succeed in that, but that's was their original mindset. They said, maybe we could take the idea of Muhammad and sort of craft him into a social justice. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, this is actually the way they thought about it. But whether or not that would be successful in terms of using Muhammad as a figure of socialism, it didn't matter because they were successful in basically bringing down the UK by starting with implementing and importing Islamic scholars who would teach at Oxford and other places, Sufism, and then that eventually turns into the importation of mass amounts of radical Sunnis. And you might have heard of groups like Antifa, which is anti-fascist. Well, it turns out the original Antifa were actually Fabian socialists. All the way up until the Third Way that was championed by Ed Miliband, David Miliband, others, and Tony Blair. So this is back in the 1990s, right? Blair thought that he could run on this platform of social justice. Okay, so even in the 1990s, they were promoting social justice, and that's the modern origin. I mean, it goes back to Lenin and a long time ago, but the modern origin of when you hear social justice warriors and these people that think that their job is to destroy Western civilization to create a fair order. No. That's actually coming from the 1990s era of the Fabian socialists and people like Tony Blair. So again, institutions like the Federal Reserve, the ideology behind the Federal Reserve is Woodrow Wilson. It is Keynesian economics. It is fiat-based currency. And that League of Nations model that H.G. Wells was so adamant in promoting even though the League of Nations failed, and even though the United Nations doesn't really have a whole lot of power behind it, those are the models that they want to bring for the future technocracy. So perhaps the League of Nations fades away and we get some other version. Maybe we get the League of Jerusalem order, right? Something like that. That could be what they push for in the next 20, 30, 40 years. It could be. But again, it's this super state international model that will be run by tech is this plan. For example, Zbigniew Brzezinski, when he wrote in his 1972 book, Between Two Ages, I have it over here. Brzezinski's Between Two Ages predicted a future where everybody was run by Skynet, where technocracy invades every area of your life. And we just seen this week, they're talking about the flock cameras that basically surveil everything, can be tapped into, watch you at all times. Everybody's new cars have all the microphones and the cameras all through them. This is literally what Orwell was warning about in 1984. But it's not just the Orwell, you know, sort of heavy-handed top-down model. It's also the Brave New World model. Because guess what? Aldous Huxley is also in these same circles. In fact, Julian Huxley wrote the philosophy of UNESCO, the official dogma of the United Nations. And he said, all that stuff that Tiny Mustache Man talked about, we got to rebrand all that. And we Fabian socialists will rebrand that as biometrics and technocracy. So don't get caught up in, oh, I follow, you know, neo-pagan Tiny Mustache Man because he arrested one of the Rothschilds. Yeah, but the same interest funded his rise, J.P. Morgan, et cetera. The Bank for National Settlements was originally the Reichsbank, and that becomes essentially an international clearinghouse for all the same banking families. Bill Clinton, for example, represented the American version of the third way. That's Fabian socialist economic theory. So this is not a UK thing. This is all of Western society's most powerful institutions have this as their governing ideology. This is the governing ideology of the Council on Foreign Relations, of Bilderberg, and of Trilateral. Who was on the Trilateral Steering Committee? Jeffrey Epstein, recruited into that by David Rockefeller to be his legate, his attaché. Was he also, who else was he the legate and attaché for? The Rothschilds. He says it in multiple emails and letters, right? Or texts, I should say. He says to Peter Thiel, you do recognize I represent the Rothschilds. He says to Ariana de Rothschild, we know we can move the money when there's a crisis and let the dumb goy have the bags. They'll be holding the bags. That's the exact same thing the Rothschilds were doing in the 1800s, as we saw from the biography. So when we understand that all the top think tanks that we think of as, you know, having all this power, Chatham House, Brookings Institute, Trilateral, Aspen Institute, Atlantic Council, these are all operating on a certain type of ideology. And even the academics that are recruited into that, do you think academics and people that get PhDs even in international relations, they don't read Carol Quigley? When I checked out from my university, when I was in grad school, I checked out Tragedy and Hope from my university. You know how many times it had been checked out since it was in the library since the 1970s? Once. You know who the second person to check it out was? Your boy right here. Nobody checked that book out. Nobody reads these things because academia is controlled to funnel you up a compartmentalized structure. So nobody in academia is going to be reading this kind of a book. Okay. And this is a very academic scholarly text. It's a critical text, meaning that it's critical of the establishment and its ideology. But what I'm trying to tell you is that the information that you're getting from myself and these books, which are this whole giant shelf back here behind me, the whole thing is almost all elite books, their own books. I mean, some of these are conspiracy talks, but this is literally just all, I'd say 90% of this shelf is their stuff. This one too, by the way. Do you think that people in international relations in grad school are reading all of these? They might be reading a couple of these. They're not reading Brzezinski and Toffler and Kissinger and Rockefeller and Jacques Attali and H.G. Wells. They're not reading all this stuff.
and the CIA guys, Miles Copeland, et cetera. They're not reading Moses Hess. They're not reading the Rothschilds biographies. They're focusing on niche areas. And then when they get up to a certain level, when you get recruited into Jeffrey Epstein level stuff, that's when you start to have a knowledge of the things that we're talking about. That's why it's not conspiracy theory. All the stuff that we talked about in these 4 hours from these elite texts over the last 6 years is literally all the stuff that Epstein was talking about in his emails and text messages. He's talking about to Larry Summers explaining him how the Vatican Bank works. Well, we've been covering the Vatican Bank for 10 years. If we've been covering Vatican spies right now. I've got like 5 books on the Vatican Bank. We've been covering those forever. And you got Jeffrey Epstein explaining, no, Larry, it's a secret bank. Bankers run the world. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer. Be sure and follow me on all my socials. And go to the Alex Jones store and buy those products. Alex Jones Network, Alex Jones Store. Get in there, get those products, support the InfoWar. This is crucial to save Western civilization.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.